airport.
Yo, officer! Excuse me, grant that Bente? Bente ID?
Need some more crack tonight or something?
Shh.
It's gonna be fun.
Yeah. Yo, could you help a brother out, man? We trying to get to Disneyland.
The two of you are on your way to Disneyland.
Yeah, this is my retarded friend. He's from Arkansas or somewhere, and he wants to go to Disneyland. Why, you want to go to Disneyland, man?
Disneyland.
See, it's Disneyland. He like, where? I love the way he says Disneyland. Say that again.
Disneyland.
He loves Disneyland, so that's where we trying to go.
All right, go east on 10.
Right.
When you get to the 5, you go south to Anaheim. Signs all over the place.
Moment, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
It hurts a lot. Just know that if you want to cry, you can, and I will not judge you.
Steve, I'm not sad, dude. I'm more just mad. I should have saw this coming. Me and him are exactly the same, except, you know, I have talent. What a fucking mess everything's become.
Or worse.
See?
Someone pay your bill. I do paperwork.
Oh, you do?
Hello, Kenny?
Soledad, you paid to have me freed?
Mm-hmm.
Could you pay to have me free, too?
See, why the fuck are you always trying to horn in all my moments, dude?
Fine, I'll just go back here in Mexican jail.
God damn.
I can arrange to have your friend freed as well.
Yeah, in time. I want answers first.
Your dad is a real motherfucker. I don't know why you came to find him. You don't want to end up like him.
I mean, he doesn't seem so bad. He's married to you and own successful ATV tour company.
He doesn't own the company. I do. His lazy ass has been mooching off my tit for years.
So not only did he fucking sell me out to the federales, but he also has lined my whole entire deal here in Mexico.
Así es.
God damn it. What a motherfucker. Well, where is he?
He's in the car. Just so you know, I'm planning on leaving him. If you want to stick around.
Ooh. How fucked up would that be? Yeah?
Very nasty.
Ooh, you guys are bad.
Why are you shitting in the prison, Stevie?
Stop looking at me, shit! Stop it! Haven't you guys ever heard of Montezuma's Revenge? If you guys knew how to boil meat or grill it, this shit wouldn't be happening.
Here.
Well, isn't this where the dead are supposed to go?
But you're not dead.
Oh, you're wrong, Decker. We're both dead.
Boone.
Don't you get it? Blades are no better than bullets.
I'm dead. I'm the walking dead.
Are you going to kill him or not? Only I want his balls. And his eyes. Unless, of course, you want them.
I think I'll pass.
Yes, I got my big feet in the window. I got my head on the ground.
Mr. Falcon.
Woo! Yeah! Mr. Falcon! Woo! Mr. Falcon and Mr. Snowman. Hey, everybody! It's Friday! And you know what that means? It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry. My God, what's going on with my voice? It's betraying me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is the show where we talk about film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it. Okay. Well, I don't do the show by myself. Let's have somebody else put themselves out there. We have Laura.
Hey.
Laura, the pop culture zealot. Laura. Laura, the Mulberry producer. Yeah. You're the NIM producer, Laura.
Am I?
Yeah, you got your little clipboard there, taking notes. And we also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing,
There's
Bill?
A strange lack of Steven.
There is.
Yeah, we also have here PCZ Steven. No Steven.
Oh.
I'm sorry, well...
Is he late or just not going to show up?
He texted me around 7 and said, is there a show? And I said, yes.
Is there a show? And,
like, he needs to ask.
And I figured that meant, yes, come and do the show. But, uh-oh, they're turning on us. They're all Steven fans.
Like, if Steven's on the show, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Boots. Well, it's calming to some people, his constant rattle.
His rattle. His death rattle.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that didn't sound right. But,
near-death rattle.
He'll be here soon. Oh, I have a feeling he's entering now, so...
he's warping in right now.
Let's just put everything on pause and wait for Steven. Ah, I'm kidding. Steven!
Woo!
Oh, he's still not here. Okay. Steven! Steven!
No!
Oh, some people are anti-Steven. Hey, Steven!
There's the sound.
Hey! How's it going, Steven?
Just fine.
It's good to hear from you. Where you been at?
Disneyland.
Oh, you're
I was in Disneyland.
Disneyland, huh?
Disneyland.
Hey, buddy. I'm glad you're here. Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. Hey, Steven. Hey.
I love Disneyland.
I do, too. It's a magical place, Laura.
It is.
Disneyland.
I like the podcasts.
Me, too. You know what? That's what made me think of this scene from this movie. You know what that's from, Bill?
It sounds familiar.
It's from this. It's not a good movie, but I remember this part being funny. And in fact, I remember it being funnier than it actually was when I saw the clip. And it's Bulletproof, starring Damon Wayans and Adam Sandler.
Nice.
Yes, where they're handcuffed.
Yeah, he's like, hey, this is my retarded friend. We need to know where Disneyland is. And he goes, Disneyland. And I was like, oh, man, that was hilarious. I got to find that. The scene lasts like a second. And then I guess it's time to turn the movie off.
Yeah, Adam Sandler did a series of movies like that, kind of a not a straight comedy, kind of an action-y.
Right, yeah. That movie's just like uneven, I guess, as you would say. Awesome. You know, I guess I should say, guys, just prepare you that next week there will not be a show, and the Thanksgiving week there will not be a show. Next week, my wife's going out of town, and she comes back on Friday, and we're not going to be doing a show on that day. So we'll be gone for 2 weeks, so enjoy this show we're about to do, because that'll be it for a while.
That's all you get.
Yeah.
Better make it a good one.
Smoke crack tonight or something?
Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Smoke some crack tonight, I guess.
That would make for an interesting show, wouldn't it?
Freebase it.
Yeah. We're freebasing here tonight. Hey! No, we got anything else to talk about? I don't know. Any video games come out or anything, Bill?
Call of Duty Black Ops came out this week, and of course, they always this is the new thing with these games is whenever you finish them, there's a zombie mode.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I haven't played it yet. I keep meaning to pick it up. I think I haven't really been into games the past couple weeks. I've been neck deep in schoolwork, and I just haven't had the dedication to play any games.
When I finished Undead Nightmare, that was it for a while in gaming for me.
I haven't even played that yet.
I guess it's
PlayStation Network kind of has their own version of the arcade kind of releases that Xbox gets.
Right.
And there's a game called Joe Danger that's like a souped-up version of Excitebike that I played for a couple hours this week, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Awesome.
But that's about it.
I guess we have a Bad Company Vietnam coming up. That might be fun.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
That'll be pretty sweet.
That's in a couple weeks. I actually owned the PC version of Battlefield Vietnam, so looking forward to seeing what they do with it.
Sweet. We'll definitely play that.
Yeah.
Now, we got some voicemail. Only a couple. We have one from Patrick and one from Rick. Let's check out Patrick's. All right?
Hello, Jason, Bill, Steven, and Laura. This is Patrick again. And I loved that Mythical Bird last week. Great show. It was really good to have you back. And I want to say I'm really impressed at Bill's new Mystery Science Theater regime. I can't wait to read his postings about it on the forum. Just to let you know, I have a lot of those shows are on the instant stream on Netflix. I have about 25 right now in my queue, so it's really nice. They have a lot of them on Netflix. In fact, I just watched a really great episode over the weekend. We had a lot of family in town, and all my cousins, everybody loves MST, so whenever we get together, we always throw an episode on. And this week, we had the pleasure of seeing Final Justice with Joe Don Baker.
Where he goes to Italy.
That's a great episode. They had they made so many cracks at the expense of Joe Don's weight. My favorite line, I think, is when he's watching this parade go by, and he's looking at all the floats, and one of the robots says, I wish it was a root beer float. And I'm just curious if any of you have a favorite episode. It's pretty hard to pick, but I think mine might have to be Cave Dwellers. Yeah, but anyways, have a great show. I got to get going. I got to get to McSwiggins, but I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, thanks, Patrick. That's kind of hard to pick, isn't it, Bill? A favorite?
That really is. I mean, I have a couple go-tos that I really enjoy, like The Final Sacrifice, Mitchell.
And, you know, Manos is good, except that got ran into the ground.
I watched it
over and over again where it's, like, not funny anymore.
Soul Taker. Well,
the thing with Manos is that it's a painful film, and it kind of, you know, there was, I forget which episode it is, but they coined a phrase called deep hurting on Mystery Science Theater, and Manos has a hellish amount of deep hurting in it. And it's that music, that it's non-stop.
Yeah, I'll always remember Torgo. Yeah, but I don't know.
Mister, what's me?
And for some reason, I remember more the skit they did at the end where he's like, would you like your complimentary crazy bread?
Yeah, he delivers a pizza.
Yeah, Torgo's pizza. I always
Torgo's
remember that.
Pizza.
But I always go back to, you know, The Final Sacrifice or pod people, you know, Trumpy. Trumpy, you can do Trumpy. Stupid things.
Wait, blast.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Yertle, where's your shell? There's all so many great lines, but I also love Riding with Death, the one I referenced.
I just watched that recently.
Oh, man, I love it. That's the line.
Ben Murphy.
Yeah, that's the one where he says, Cupcake, go get Twinkie the King approved by the magician.
Yes.
And also the, like, for you to consider Scientology, that great line. There's so many great lines in that. But, I mean, yes, there's Joel favorites and Mike favorites, right?
There really is. Maybe I'll mark them down. I watched the first four episodes of the first season, which is – the first season stands out, one, because it has J. Elvis Weinstein as Servo. And it also – the riffing is a little more spaced out. It's not as many riffs per minute. So they kind of choose – pick and choose their moments. But I've been – I just haven't had the time to write it down, but I did start watching them.
Awesome.
But yeah, I can't – it's really hard to pick my favorites because there are mic ones that are classic, like Space Mutiny, Puma Man.
Pumaman.
Pumaman. One of my favorite moments is that stupid song and Crow goes, Pooh. My man, he flies like a moron.
Oh, I love
but
it.
There's some really great ones.
Isn't it great to sit and watch those with multiple people, though, not just by yourself?
Oh, yeah.
I wish we could all watch it as a group. That'd be great.
We can on Xbox because of the party watch
have a party
with Netflix.
Let's totally do that. And it's still, yeah. There's even like Cinematic Titanic. I have quotes from that that I do. And
yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
I say it all the time where I go, you're in tiny timeout. I just say that all the time. You're in tiny timeout.
Was that the first one, the oozing skull?
Yeah, which was that was the one in the Frankenstein's castle thing.
What was that called?
What is that? It's so horrible.
Blood of Frankenstein?
I think it's something like that. Castle of Frankenstein? Or?
Yeah.
And there's the little dwarf guy, and he's like, you're in tiny timeout.
I'm just pissed that it's been 5 months since a Cinematic Titanic release.
Yeah,
I went back and looked because I had mentioned it, and the last one they did was Danger on Tiki Island with all the little dwarfs running around.
Maybe the creative sabbatical where they recharge.
No, because they're constantly touring.
Oh, well, that's...
And I've read online that they do different films on the tours, like War of the Insects, Samson and the Seven Miracles of the World, Brides of Blood. They've been doing different films, but just no DVD releases since last June.
And, you know, they've really stuck to that old MST formula of old bad movies that you've never heard of. And Riff Trax has done more – they do modern day films.
And Riff Trax is a pain in the ass because a lot of times they do films that – aren't worth the riff.
Right.
And then if there is a film, you go, hey, I'll watch that. I'm really anal about the way I watch my riff tracks. I have to rip the DVD, separate the audio, separate the video, mix the riff tracks audio with the movie audio.
Wow.
And then, I mean, I've sent you DVDs of riff tracks movies that I go through that trouble of completely redoing the DVD.
Because, I mean, when we did commentaries, we tried to do the whole iPod while you watch the movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it starts to drift somehow. And
it does drift.
It's a big pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's why they have that little, what is his name on there? It's a little
disembodied.
Yeah, that's it.
Disembodied, yeah. It's a pain in the ass, yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't, I feel like I should email them like, hey, what's the deal, man?
You should.
I want a new Cinematic Titanic already because they were releasing them every 2 months. That's how it was working. And now it's been 5 months.
Man, that is a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have another voicemail, this one from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys and girl. I'm assuming Laura's in it for the long haul now, so got to change my intro
up.
Laura?
For the long haul?
There's changes in the wings. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I'm sitting here with a big glass of wine, and I'm about to start watching The Room.
Oh, no.
So let's kick it off. Even the title, The Room, with white words on the black background, it looks like they did it on iMovie. So it looks cheaply done already. That's all I'm saying. Wow. Even the intro is bad. It's like names, stock footage of some boats, and then name, stock footage of the skyline, name, stock footage of something else. But it's already so predictable, and it's just the credits. I'm like, all right, there's a name. I'm guessing some stock footage is next. Oh, winner. Stock footage again. Anyway, this is terrible. What the fuck? Oh, my God, this movie. I just watched, like, the first scene, right? Oh, hi, Danny. Oh, it's so sexy in that. Oh, I think I would do anything. yeah, I don't know if this was supposed to be serious or if this actually is the greatest movie of all time. Because if this was meant to be as bad as it is, he did an amazing job. If it's not, he is definitely retarded. Retarded.
I like the way he says that.
Besides the D, or it sounds like he's some sort of pastry. Yeah, after watching the sex scene, I'm kind of
grossed out,
disturbed. It was really gross, and I didn't like it at all. I see a bit of booby, but it didn't make up for the fact that he's this freaky dude, and all the time is just like,
you get greasy and veiny and just nasty.
Noises going on right over the top of the footage. It just didn't. It was gross. That was the grossest sex scene I've seen in a long time. I felt dirty watching it. There was like three sex scenes within the first half an hour. And the third sex scene, they used some of the same footage they did from the first sex scene. And hope that you didn't notice that it was exactly the same. What the hell? Oh, my God. This movie is... the acting in the script is the worst part about it. And, oh, so bad. I really am struggling to watch this without somebody here with me. It's that bad. Oh, my God. I love it so much. Yeah, I couldn't finish watching the whole thing, so...
Aww.
I'm just going to rate it.
Wimped out.
Half an hour that I flicked through. I would
you
give
flicked
this
through only a half an hour?
If you're in a coma, and I'd give it 5 stars if you want to put somebody in a coma. Yeah, if you watch it to the end, I'm pretty sure you will fall into a coma and die.
My God.
This was Rick from Australia. Bye, guys.
So it's kind of like the movie...
I love you.
Oh, thanks, Rick. Well, it's kind of like the in The Ring. If you watch that video, you'll die. So that's what... you'll fall into a coma after watching The Room, I guess. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, Tommy Wiseau is not a filmmaker.
Tommy,
but he thinks he is.
It almost sounds like you're saying Tommy Russo, but with like a lisp, you know, like Tommy Wiseau.
Hi, my name's Zach. Fabulous. I'm Disco Dust.
All right, guys, let's check out entertainment. Entertainment. Ah.
Disneyland.
Yeah. Well, Disneyland's entertaining, right? Yeah.
It can be.
You got that, huh? All right, guys. Unstoppable came out today. Do you guys want to see Unstoppable?
Yeah, I'll rent it.
Is it Runaway Train without the rapist characters on it? Is that
yes,
what the movie
exactly.
is?
Yes, exactly.
Let's do that movie, but not have them unlikable ex-convict rapists, you know? Let's have Chris Pine. Everyone loves that guy. Denzel? Yeah.
I'd like him even more if he was a rapist.
It's like, I'm out. I can't identify with this guy. He's a rapist. But yeah, I actually read some good reviews. It's a solid thriller. But I don't know if I'll check
I'll pass.
But okay, I want to talk about Skyline.
there was a premiere of it. A bunch of people from Ohio. No, of Unstoppable. Oh, sorry, and a woman said it was clenchy.
Clenchy.
So I guess that's good.
Only I want his balls.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, Skyline looks like this low-budget alien invasion movie, but they put a lot of effects into it. And what I read, Bill, is it's basically effects directors. What did these guys do before?
It's the Brothers Strauss, those assholes that did Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not getting good reviews. The only review.
I'm shocked.
My favorite, Bill, is the it's a turn your brain off at the door movie. And
that's a bad sign.
It's also an instantly forget it as you walk out movie. But, you know, surprisingly, people are saying the effects, you know, they're pretty decent for this low-budget movie. It's like $10 million, and it's pretty watchable effects-wise. But, man, there's the plot and dialogue is horrible.
Let's just look at who is in this film. Where's the big names?
Turk from Scrubs.
The dude with the massive head from... what the hell is his name? Eric Balfour.
Yeah, Eric Balfour.
That guy's got one massive noggin.
Well, I don't know if it doesn't look massive to me. It looks skinny.
His head looks really long.
Well, okay, yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah.
His head is squished.
Yeah, it's like narrow and long.
Is that the lead?
Yeah, but if it wasn't squished, it would be like radically huge.
No, it'd be normal size if it wasn't squished.
Oh,
because it's squished.
It's like the guy that played Marshall on Alias, where you swear he's a midget, but he's not.
Right. Batista from Dexter is also in it. And, you know, I made a tweet saying, hey, if they were the characters from their TV shows in the movie, I'm sold.
Oh, yeah.
If it was like Turk from Scrubs fighting aliens, hell yeah.
You know what's funny is I'm putting Skyline into Google just to bring up the IMDb.
Skyline.
And I keep getting the webpage for Skyline Chili, the chili place here in Ohio.
Delicious.
It's disgusting.
Skyline.
Okay.
You sound like
Keanu. God, this is pathetic. This is like a sci-fi channel listing of people.
Yeah, well, you know, every review, every other review, I won't exaggerate, says one step above sci-fi channel Drek kind of thing. So, hey.
Brittany Daniel. I mean, that's like a curse right there.
Hey, I'll go see you because of that.
I think she's very cute and attractive, and I liked her in Dawson's Creek 10 years ago. But I'm, you know,
don't
come
get
on.
Me wrong. I will watch this movie someday, but it just won't be in the
theater. Oh, I will too.
But you know what else? I saw Megamind last weekend and had a lot of fun. I thought it was awesome. And Bill, there was a cool sequence that I was remembering from Megamind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where there's a chase going on, and all of a sudden Megamind starts going up steel girders, and flaming barrels are going down.
It was a
Donkey Kong reference. But it was awesome visually the way they did it. It was really cool. And just the 3D and just the animation, of course, is awesome. And when you see the Metro Man, you know, he's like the Superman type character. It makes me want like a serious superhero movie, but done in that kind of caliber animation, you know? I would really love to see something like that.
I bet
that.
You that would confuse the hell out of people.
Like a whole Batman 3D animated or something. That'd be awesome.
You smoke crack tonight or something?
Yeah, a little bit. But
PCP.
Yeah.
And Morning Glory came out too.
Morning Glory. Oh, yeah, that's the
Bad Robot produced film.
Yeah, I see that. What did J.J. Abrams have to do with that? Just produced it?
Yeah.
It's his batteries not.
It actually makes a lot of sense because he started out doing Felicity.
Well, you know, the first script he ever wrote and sold was Regarding Henry.
Yes.
So it makes sense. He's doing another Harrison Ford vehicle.
Ritz.
And that's Ritz. Actually getting pretty good reviews compared to, say, Skyline. Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know. It's Skyline. Only about 2 points above Skyline.
You're Skyline. Selling me on Skyline. You're selling me.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of Unstoppable that got good reviews. All right, we got to get out of this.
I don't even think Unstoppable got very good reviews.
No, it did. Check it out. be there.
Let me look. I don't believe you.
He doesn't believe you.
All right. Let's see.
You're a filthy, stinking liar.
Let's see.
Let me see. Yeah, Unstoppable got, you know, mediocre to positive reviews, generally favorable.
No, I want to hear the number.
69, dude.
Yeah. See, that's favorable. I would say it's...
That's mediocre.
Well, it's better than Skyline. Right?
What did Skyline get?
28?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVos. Now, I had a really exciting week this week because, as you all know, I was excited about Conan returning to the air. And I had a blast watching him return and watching, you know, he does 4 shows a week. Friday's off because TBS has to show movies that nobody watches on Friday. But it was really exciting. You know, I had me and my wife, and we had Emma on the couch. We all watched the premiere because back when he did the Tonight Show, the first Tonight Show, we all watched that and got all excited about it because, you know, we always big Conan fans. And it was really exciting seeing him return. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
And Bill, you watched it too?
Watched every night of it.
It did that cool opening video like previously, which was hilarious, you know, getting shot with the Tommy guns and
repeatedly.
Yeah, and then I love the John Hamm thing. He's trying to get a job with on Mad Men or whatever, and he's like, it's 1965, you're 2 years old. But it was like a lot of fun, and I was smiling through the whole thing. I had a really good time watching Conan. And I got to say, you know, Bill, I told you that unfortunately I like certain things you can go into Google and subscribe to a name like Conan or Norm Mulberry. Anytime anything's written about it, which it never is for Norm Mulberry, you'll get an email or whatever. You can, you know, subscribe to news feeds or whatever. So I read a lot of Conan stuff, and a lot of people were reviewing his first night. And the first thing I saw in the morning, Bill, was the Ken Tucker with Entertainment Weekly. It was, Coco is so-so. And I was like, what? And it was basically over-analyzing, nitpicking everything he did. And he was really nervous, and he did too many jokes about NBC or TBS. And it was just, and I was just like, I can't read this stuff. Because, you know, I'm just watching it and having a good time. I'm not analyzing the way it's going.
Right.
So, and I understand that now. If I enjoy it, that's fine. I don't need to read what other people say about things. And I almost thought about it like this, because everybody's has their list. Like, here's do's and don'ts for Conan's new show. It's like, what?
Who are these people to tell him what he should and shouldn't do?
He doesn't give a shit about your opinion. He's just going to do what he knows how to do. And if there's a little, you know, uneven or whatever, he'll work up the kinks as it goes on. It's like the beginning of his show, right?
Right. I mean, he hasn't done a show in...
And I honestly think with each consecutive day, like Monday, I was entertaining and stuff. Tuesday, even funnier. Wednesday, funnier. Thursday, I thought last night's show was hilarious. I thought each show got progressively funnier.
And he'll get into his groove again, you know.
Just... Right. I would almost say he's already getting to his groove, and it's great.
Yeah, I thought he was in his groove the first night. It was really kind of back to how I always remembered his show.
And what was great is Andy now sits on the couch with him. Yeah. You know, early in the Tonight Show when Andy came back, he was always behind the podium. And he would stay there. And it'd be like, why isn't Andy on the couch with him? But now they learned from that Andy should be more there.
Well, you think that might have been an NBC decision, not really a Conan decision.
Yeah, I wondered because once he knew he was going off the air, then Andy started sitting on the couch.
Well, it's like they don't want to copy Johnny with Ed sitting there.
That was 20 years ago, though.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't think they were
following the same format. No. Jay had.
Honestly, Andy probably didn't feel comfortable with it anymore. You know,
that's.
You know, maybe he's just like, oh, I'm just gonna hang back or whatever. But now he's there full throttle, and I have this clip here, and I thought this was funny because there's been so many times, Bill, where you've joked about. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. And
Conan goes to the standards and practices guy at TBS, and he shows him this clip, and he's like, this is unacceptable.
I love that it was one of those – it was obviously pulled off YouTube because it has that old TBS Superstation logo.
Yeah, he wasn't, like, showing him the DVD or anything. That's funny. Let's check this out.
Okay, I was watching TBS the other night. Die Hard 2 came on. You guys had dubbed some of the swear words. I question the quality of the dubbing. I'm not trying to be rude, but I'd like you to take a look.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
It's so bad.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon? There's no Mr. Falcon in the movie. What's wrong with saying yippee-ki-yay, mother... That's how my assistant answers the phone at work. How would you like it if someone dubbed your voice and put in things that you didn't say? How would you feel about it? Bananas! You don't just dub me like that.
Whatever you do, this guy.
How do you feel about that? Bananas! You're making these judgments. These are important judgments that you're making.
Mr. Falcon.
You sicken me.
But then there, you know, there were bits where he asked them what words would be okay to say, Bill. Sexual positions. And the whole thing, like, he said Tokyo Sandblaster.
Oh, even saying that makes me want to throw up.
And even before the show, I just saw Conan tweeted, many people have been asking me what Tokyo Sandblaster is. Send me your tweets of what you think it is. That's pretty funny. But, I mean, I just think it's a blast having Conan back. And I watched each episode more than once. And
I only watched them once, but I enjoyed them.
Last night they had a funny bit, Bill, where cable stars came to congratulate Conan and Bruce Jenner from the Kardashian show. But then they also had a hoarder from the show Hoarders. And she was
and
there.
And King Krabs. What from The Deadliest Catch?
Yeah, they had King Krabs. But what was great about the hoarder is she was there with like her living room, pushing her in there. And she was like protecting all of her stuff.
She had the greatest freak look on her face ever. I don't know where they found that lady, but she was fantastic.
She was a great hoarder. And, you know, I've read a lot of nitpicks about Conan's... first of all, I think his set is gorgeous. I think it looks great.
Yeah, it's not your typical talk show set. It's kind of understated, and I like it.
And I like what
they're doing with the blue screen.
Right, because a lot of people... That looks like a blue screen behind him. It's like, duh, he can use that for bits. It can instantly turn into some kind of backdrop.
I love that Andy was wearing a green tie and shirt.
Yeah.
The one night, and when they were trying to do the blue screen bit, the stuff would show up on his shirt, and he tried to cover himself up.
Yeah, that was great, because Conan said, you know, the show comes on the same time as your local news, so we'll do the local news for you. And then it turns into the news, but then you see the backdrop on Andy's shirt. That was great. It just, they're having a lot of fun, and that's what the show should be, is fun.
Yeah.
And
the only times I skipped around was the musical performances. I watched the one he did with Jack Black because I kind of enjoyed that rockabilly kind of sound that they did. But the rest of them, wasn't really impressed, like Soundgarden and there was somebody. I can't remember who else was
if
there.
If Soundgarden would have done Black Hole Sun, I would have totally been.
Yeah, why do they have to go and do some new music?
And when Chris Cornell sings like that, I never know what he's saying.
No, it's that high-pitched, like, falsetto.
But you know
what?
One thing I'll say, Bill, the next night there was some band, I can't remember who it was, but they sounded fantastic. The sound mix on the show is really good.
Yeah, that I was very impressed by.
Conan,
I thought it was like studio-quality sound mix. Like
basic cable band sounds great. And,
yeah.
And it's a lot of fun, and I just, you know, I was kind of getting annoyed by all of the... little nitpicky things people would say on the internet, like
people are assholes.
This isn't like something different. It's just a talk show. Well, yeah, that's what he does. What did they expect?
Yeah, congratulations,
it's his comedy version, though. Of it. It's, whether you like his comedy or not,
right? Conan's like hit or miss, and you know, his first show got through the roof ratings. Like, just it beat everybody because everyone tuned in to see what it was like. And then the next day, you know, the second show, you know, the ratings aren't going to be that high again. But everybody had to have Conan's ratings slip. You know, it's like we knew that would be lower. But he's averaging about 2 million viewers each time.
Yeah, and it's more than Letterman or Leno.
Well, they keep saying, like, the demographic of, you know, 18 to 49 years old, which is what advertisers aim at. He's doing great in those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, he's set up. And if you Google Conan's name, Bill, you'll see people saying, will Conan last in this? It's like he's on basic cable. He's going to last forever. It's just stupid.
Hey, I caught George Lopez one night after Conan. If they can keep that shit around, they can keep Conan around.
I know, and he was doing
quite possibly one of the worst shows I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Well, it's so painful.
It's like, almost like compare it to like, you know how I was describing the audience is like really loud? It's almost like a Soul Train or what, a dance show? I don't know.
What I love is the one night I'm watching Conan and I turn it on about a minute before and it's the end of Tyler Perry's show, something, Meet the Browns.
Right.
Which I'm guessing is a tongue-in-cheek title. But it goes from that to Conan. And then Lopez after, and I think he made a joke that welcome to the 1 hour of the whitest show on TBS. I was just cracking up at that because
he did
so
alternate
true.
Titles, and he said he will now be known as Tyler Perry's Conan. And I think every day of the week it's Family Guy before Conan, like Family Guy reruns, except for one night it's the Tyler Perry sitcom.
Okay.
So that's awesome, man. It's pretty cool. But I'm glad Conan's back. It's awesome. That's something, Steven, you and I always shared our Conan humor. You know, when we work together, we talk about, oh, did you see Conan last night? We'd always like the late night show. It's we bonded over that, man. It was awesome.
I loved it. Bananas. Tamari the Austrian.
Yeah. I can't wait. They're going to go crazy and stuff. I really think they're going to go more nuts as time goes on. The Kanye box last night, Bill. Just putting Kanye in the
corner. That guy really is so self-important. It's disgusting.
One of my favorite things he ever said, and I joked about this, like his one regret in life that he will never be able to achieve is to see himself in concert because he is himself. And I was like, yeah, I'll never be able to listen to the show live.
Yeah, he pulled a stunt this morning where he was supposed to perform on the Today Show, and he canceled via tweet.
Right. Yeah, I saw a clip of that. I almost thought about doing it on the show, but I was like, nah. But he was Matt Lauer was talking to Kanye about the George Bush thing or whatever, and they started playing in the background the VMA thing?
Yeah, the VMA
cut
thing.
Off Taylor Swift, and he's like, now how am I supposed to be talking when you're playing that in the background? I can hear them myself talking. Why are you going to do that? Well, you need to turn that off. He's like, all right, I'm sorry. And they cut it off, and then it's just stupid.
I'm so distracted, I can't think. My words are so important, they're getting confused.
I love when he was saying something like, it's like that person in Tiananmen Square standing in front of the tank. I put myself out there, and Conan was like, what? You're not the guy in front of the tank.
You're standing up to communism.
It's like, that's not the same. But
he's such an asshole.
I want to talk about someone who
feel like that Buddhist monk that poured gasoline on himself.
He wished, you know.
Fire. I want to get on the cover of a Rage Against the Machine album.
You know, he only wishes he was as awesome as Buddy, the Cake Boss.
Who doesn't?
Now, this week, Cake Boss was really like trying to hold in the vomit as of watching it because special guest Snooki Laura. I was not being serious. I wasn't really going to vomit.
I'm on making a vomit cake. Filled with chocolate ganache and vomit.
Oh.
But Snooki. Snooki was on Cake Boss this week. And as soon as she walks in, you know, Anthony's there to talk to her and hit on her. And then little Buddy, the little nephew or whatever the hell he is. I don't know who that little shit is.
But he's an annoying little shit.
But the one thing I was kind of, I'm talking like Buddy all of a sudden. The one thing that kind of disturbed me is Anthony's self-esteem here. He hits on Snooki. She turns him down. So he decides to be made over like one of those Jersey Guidos. to win over her approval. And that's just the wrong message on Cake Boss, okay? But another thing is, you know the guy with the really curly mustache? You know, that new guy?
Yeah, the creepy guy that looks like Salvador Dali.
Right. Buddy puts him in charge of the poof, the Snooky poof. And that's another funny thing. She wants a cake for her mom. She's like, my mom, I love her, and I haven't
seen
her in a
while. But she wants to make it about herself.
And then she goes, and I want to be on the cake. And I was like, oh, okay. And let's just go ahead and check this out. And if you, if anyone feels free to go use the restroom or something this.
Today, we have a real interesting client coming into the bakery. Her name is Nicole. You guys might know her as Snooky.
The show is the best based
AKA
on television.
Snooky is on a show called The Jersey Shore.
Snooky.
Snooky.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Hi, I love you.
See? We had a little bet going.
Yeah, what's that?
My little cousin thinks that you would choose him over me.
He's probably right.
Oh, my God.
See,
when did Randy Newman start doing the music for Cake Boss?
He's not just cute. He's not cute.
Go away.
You, well,
go away.
You're not going to work. It's not going to work out.
God, friend, me.
You should go standing.
Maybe you could take me. We'll go to the shore.
Oh, we'll do GTL after we get out of here.
DT what?
Huh? GTL.
What's that?
Are you kidding me? Gym tanning and lingerie.
What are you doing?
Right, it's raining.
I go out. Party. In the city.
To the clubs. What is pump?
Yeah.
Give all of my customers.
She's not a normal customer. She's famous. It's Snooky.
She's a huge celebrity.
Likes to meet these
huge.
Like
what?
She looks like an Oompa Loompa.
He's crazy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, wait, you met a huge celebrity. Her body
was huge. I would love
huge.
To make a cake for my mother. Okay. She's like my best friend. And I haven't been home
she's
in a while.
She's got massive thighs.
You know, something special for her. Have you heard of my poof?
No.
You know my poof, right? No.
Talking about your flatulent ass?
Okay.
It's kind of like my trademark. So I would like to have that on my cake.
A big poof on a cake.
And maybe some like fist pumping arms coming out.
Oh, Jesus. I got Rob working on Snooky, and the most important thing about Snooky is a poof. So you better make it right.
Do you know anything about this hair poof for Snooky? It's a poof? Like a poof?
Never heard of such a thing.
All right, good.
I've never heard of it. I don't know what you're talking about.
So let me ask you guys something. What do you think about, like me changing my style or something? Like my hair?
You gotta have style first.
Nice week. I'm like, oh.
So that was a diss. And Anthony says to me, Joey, what do you think of my look? And what do I think of your look?
When I talked to Snooky, she was saying
something like
about
New Jersey.
Not tan enough or something like that.
Well, you're not tan at
you
all.
You need to look
first
more like
off,
an orange troll.
Yeah, second off, what did you comb your hair with, a fork?
Go to Chuck E. Cheese and get one of them trolls.
She said gym tanning and laundry.
Gin tan, what is that, a drink?
Gym.
Gin tan laundry. Gym.
That's a gym.
I want to maybe come on the delivery,
a
and I want to see what Snooky thinks if
side
I can.
Do
you want to show a super ranch?
She loves beef eater.
I'm going to show her the...
Well, I think you need some help. Hey, girls, what do you think of Anthony's look?
You need some color.
What else?
You need to, do something with that hair. You need a haircut.
Girls, why don't you help get Anthony ready for the Snooky delivery?
No, I have to admit, Anthony does look like he always just woke up, doesn't he?
Take a shape.
Come here, Anthony, you're all ours.
So I get Sunshine and Violet. I'm like, give him a makeover, please. You know, he definitely
need to
needs
make
one.
A cake.
You guys
What's
better
on?
Make me look good.
You look tan and everything.
Have you ever done this before?
And Anthony's kind of lurking in the background. I'm like, Anthony, come over here, show your new look.
I took your advice and I got a tan.
You got your GTL.
Is that their brick house
when
music?
I saw Anthony at the bakery, he was so pale, no muscles, no style. This kid needs to go GTL ASAP.
What do you think of what we did with Anthony here?
I think Anthony needs to come around here and show me his new GTL body.
Let's see. Come on, cuz. Let's see what you got.
So when he came today with Buddy and delivered the cake, I was like, oh my God, you got the chain.
The chain, the belt
pants,
buckle,
the belt,
and the muscle.
You
win
it!
Oh, Anthony.
I'm
no
very
respect.
Proud of Anthony for changing it around. Oh, you still gotta hit the tannery,
yeah,
but...
Good job, Anthony. Maybe you stand a chance.
Who wants to eat some cake?
What's that? Maybe you'll get laid, Anthony.
What?
Maybe this is
incredible. She wasn't home for Mother's Day. I missed her for 2 months. I hadn't seen her. It was just...
takes the cake.
Are you gonna cry?
She's pretty much.
You know, she did a really good thing for her mom.
Oh, shut up!
At the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
Cut it off!
Have a great day. Thank you.
Did you say Anthony totally, like, just... He's a phony, man. I'm really disappointed. It's ridiculous.
That was a long clip.
It was.
Wait, what? Yeah, I think I fell asleep.
Yeah. Wow. I'm really disappointed, man.
Get out of here. I got to conduct business.
Oh. Sorry, buddy.
Sorry.
All right, guys. Let's talk about...
I choked on some spit.
Oh, lovely.
Oh. Let's talk about The Apprentice.
I was salivating over Snooki.
And her poof.
Her poof.
Who is the cheater?
I know who it is now. Hey! And I was actually surprised by who the cheater was. Remember, we thought it would be the Eliza chick or the blonde girl? The bossy blonde girl?
Oh, Stephanie.
I thought it would be Trump.
It's Trump.
I'm the cheater. I fooled all of you.
I'm fired.
The cameras don't have any film in it. We're not even on TV. What?
I would never film this garbage.
You're just in a billionaire's amusement right now.
None of you have any personality.
And now I will hunt you on my island. What? Oh, my God. Jesus.
And there's predators there.
There's predators.
A loopy nut.
All right, let's check it out. Let's see who the cheater is. The cheater.
Honor's cocky as ever. I'm thinking, what in the world are you cocky about? You just lost and you come back in here like, you know, you're on top of the world.
It's all good.
Yeah, that was great how Honor was just talking game.
Honor keeps telling me I'll see you in the finals, but I don't expect to see Honor in the finals.
Guess not.
I've just been given some very disturbing news. That Anand has been text messaging people, telling them to bring in money, etc., etc. Anand, is that true?
That is not true, sir. I have not been texting anybody regarding money. Absolutely.
Well,
not.
You know, if you did, it's a clear violation of the rules.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're saying you didn't do it?
I have not done that.
Mm-hmm.
Busted.
Want me to read you a text message? Would you like me to read a text
message? I mean, I don't know.
Do you want me to read a text message?
Go right ahead, Mr. Trump.
Ask him one more time.
It says, come to Trump Tower from 10 to 1:30 p.m.
It says, lols.
Bring at least $50 cash.
Trump Tower.
Pretend like you don't know me.
R-O-F-L.
Need you to buy a pedicab ride from me or one
GTL.
Of my teammates. I'm project
GTL.
Manager.
It says
so my ass
source.
Is on the line. I'm getting close to the top.
That's not even
I
worse.
I won't have my phone with
he's
me.
Being cocky.
So just come by and pretend like we don't know each other.
I want to know who gave him up.
I do too.
Too bad, right?
I know.
That is bad. That's true.
What was funny, Poppy's face was hilarious.
What
happened? This whole thing, like,
nobody came.
Thank God they didn't catch me.
I don't care if they came or not.
I can assure
it's
you
because
that
they don't respect you, they didn't come.
Perhaps.
I'm sure it's not because they knew you were breaking the rules, and that's a real break of the rules. What do you think of that, Clint? I see you're just
you
going nuts over
me.
There. What do you think? Are you shocked at Anand?
I'm flabbergasted. I've been around Anand. I've come to respect Anand. In fact, I've seen Anand as someone who potentially could compete with me for this job.
It goes on and on and on and on.
Does anybody
else
know about this?
In a chance of
Brandy?
I have no idea, sir.
Now, you're an attorney. What would you say?
Unacceptable.
Anand, why did you deny it? Why didn't you just say yes?
I want to stay here, Mr. Trump. I want to stay here and I want to fight.
No, but why did you deny it? You lied to me.
I did. I did, Mr. Trump. And... I want to be at the top. I want to win. I did send that text message, and nobody came. I mean, not that that means anything.
I just wasn't attracted to them.
It was inappropriate. I just, you know, being a project manager, you want to win. You know, I just...
Anand, I'm all about taking every advantage you can.
That's all I was trying to do.
But you crossed the line. Wouldn't you say you crossed the line?
Now that I'm sitting here in the boardroom facing you,
yes, I've crossed the line.
I crossed the line.
This is why the country's gotten into such trouble. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thinking
it's all your fault,
that we've
Anand.
Been witnessing on Wall Street for the last 5 years. Anand, you're fired. Go.
The cheater.
Wow, he really was a cheater.
All that, and they didn't even show up.
You know, I was thinking maybe they only have, they can use cell phones on the show that are from the show, you know?
And that's
maybe,
possible.
Maybe he turned in the cell phone or whatever, and they, like, looked through it, and they saw that he sent a text or something.
He forgot to delete it or something.
Like, he tried to delete it, but it was saved to the SIM card or something like that.
He's a moron. John is an Oompa Loompa making gobstoppers.
No, he couldn't. But besides that, they did the Kim Kardashian perfume thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did feel sorry for Poppy because that did look so shitty.
She was so proud of it, too.
She was bedazzling.
You know, she was out of her mind. I loved the juvenile bedazzled lettering of the name.
Oh, yeah. That was awful.
As soon as I saw the hot glue gun, I was like, they're going to lose.
Like, yikes. And that other
it's
chick.
Craft hour on The Apprentice.
The other chick, too, man, when she's like, make sure I get all the credit for my ideas. It's like, shut up.
Stephanie is a biatch.
Yeah,
is that
she
the
is.
One that looks like a peacock?
She looks like a muffin.
A really sharp nose?
Yes.
She looks like Beaker. Okay.
Like Beaker.
But I thought the Clint display, I thought his looked great. It was really,
I thought it was really fancy.
It was very fancy. I thought it was weird that Brandy just wouldn't give them anything. Like, I don't know. You know, I'm not that kind of girl, whatever. I don't understand that.
Wait a second. What show were you watching?
Yeah.
Sorry. Not that kind of girl.
Now, who do you guys think is going to win? So far.
Anon.
Anon, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Anon? Anon?
Well, I think that Trump likes Clint, and I think that he likes Brandy.
I do, too.
I can bet on that. He definitely likes sorry. Brandy.
You just need to convince yourself, and it looks like you've done that, so congratulations.
Hey. You're gone, Anon. Gone, Anon. Huh?
On and on and on.
Classless.
I think Clint will be a finalist, even though his hair is ridiculous.
He did something different with it this week.
He
did you see
just,
that?
I think just a gust of
left.
I think Wynn did that. He didn't do anything to his hair.
Well, I was like, he's got a little bit of gel in it.
Like
he's got product.
I got a bit of schmutz up here.
He got a little bagel and cream cheese in his hair.
I think it'll come down to Brandy and Clint and that other guy.
Stuart,
he'll just...
Oh, that guy is such an asshole. He's completely vacant. There's nothing going on there.
He gets so flustered when Kim Kardashian is there or whatever. All right, guys. Yeah. You know, I got to say that I always enjoy the stupidity of Hell's Kitchen, but... I was hard to get back into it this week.
This week was grating. I was talking to you while I was watching it. Like, this is bad. I started ranting, and you said, you just got to turn it off.
Turn it off.
Go back to it later.
When you start analyzing their behavior, you can't because they're just characters.
They're idiots.
But the one thing I'm always amused by is when Chef Ramsay fools them, thinking they're eating this great food, and it's from... A fast food place, or it's mashed up hot dog or something. So let's check this out.
Mashed up hot dog.
Scott. I brought in room service items, staples across any five-star hotel. Yes?
Yes, chef.
Now, I'm interested in your opinions, yeah?
Yes, chef.
Yes, chef. So have a little taste.
Chef Ramsay has handpicked four unique dishes for the chefs to taste.
Have a little taste, pass them around.
But what the chefs don't know is that only one of these dishes is actually from a five-star hotel's room service menu.
Chicken salad.
The others? Well, they're not exactly fine dining. That chicken salad sandwich.
Those two, please.
It's from a gas station.
Nice.
That spaghetti marinara.
Thank you very much.
It's from a food truck. And the egg rolls.
Thank you, indeed.
Are Chinese delivery. The only dish from an actual five-star room service menu is the chicken wings.
Did you guys have a wing?
Yeah, chef.
And they're from Chef Ramsay's restaurant, the London West Hollywood.
Now,
oh, are they?
Sabrina, which one was your favorite?
This one, the roll.
Mm-hmm. The rolls.
I really liked the dipping sauce. This had a ginger. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah? No.
I thought the chicken sandwich was actually the best. The mixture was nice.
Gas station.
Wrong.
I was a fan.
Hey, it could have been from the Chef Point Cafe.
Good. Mm. So, I've learned a lot about you from this. The biggest thing I've learned about you is that your palates need work.
Isn't it a little late for that?
Every dish. Except for
should've been a prerequisite to get on the show.
It's from a fast food restaurant.
Now, he's wrong about that.
I knew there was some kind of trick to this. There's always some kind of trick or twist with Chef Ramsay.
The chicken sandwich, for instance, that Nona, you preferred. That is from a gas station.
Oh, it's pretty good for a gas station sandwich.
The egg rolls, that's from a Chinese takeaway.
That's Chinese takeaway. I'm literally stunned.
Grab it from a Chinese guy on the street.
The Chinese takeout.
Hey, it's my food! No, I take it away from you.
He took it away. Took it away. It's mine.
I call police!
The truth of the matter is that you're.
Stop, Rondi!
Is in need of desperate work.
And then, you know, they did the little.
Stupid challenge.
The taste test thing and all that kind of stuff. And, I gotta say, the most amusing thing out of the whole thing is Rob. He actually did well on that. He picked the right thing, but he gets eliminated anyway because he sucks. And what Gordon Ramsay says as he's hanging up his jacket cracked me up. Did you guys remember that? Check this out.
If the size of one's waist corresponds to the size of one's talent, then Rob would be a fantastic chef. Instead, he just wears gigantic pants.
He just wears gigantic pants.
Hey, that's a good one.
He just wears gigantic pants. That's fantastic. I missed that.
That was great. So we'll see what else happens on the show.
By the end of the episode, I'm so zoned out. My mind is so exhausted.
It's so 2 hours is too much, Fox.
It really is.
Jeez. Holy crap. And it's looking like that blonde chick that annoys everyone is going to make it to the end. It's driving me crazy.
And with the massive Jay Leno chin.
Why does she always have a... You ever notice outside Hell's Kitchen, she has a gigantic flower in the side of her head? What is that about? And you know, there's a funny part. It's like, I'm going to send you on a shopping spree. And they're like, oh! So when they show up, it looks like a warehouse or like just an empty location. They just... threw random items in. It's like,
I think you're right.
That's not a store. It's like some knockoff place on the side of a pier or something.
It's an outlet store.
It's an outlet store, yeah.
All right, guys. Top Chef desserts. Just desserts, I should say. And the one thing I noticed is everybody is knocking on Morgan. You know, because it's obvious. I think he's going to win unless he really screws up.
Yeah, he's got it. He may be an asshole, but he has the most talent there.
Yeah, and the main thing about, I guess, his assholishness is that I can't really blame him is that he doesn't care about any of those people.
There's nothing wrong with that. And that was what is bothering Little Miss Princess so much.
Yeah, what was it, Heather, the Asian lady?
No, Zach.
Oh, Zach!
That princess.
Right. Now, Zach started to disappoint me because he started getting, like, sour grapes where he realized...
Majorly.
He realized that he was screwed, and so he started saying, well, basically, I'm more cheery all the time, so I should get to go to the end. It's like, that's not how they judge the show. That's not how
that
they do.
That cake he made was horrendous.
It was bizarre. Oh my god!
I thought the white chocolate like looked like spider webbing.
And then when
the
lady from The Incredibles who makes clothes, when she walks over there, she's like, "Oh!" And you know, it's the more like the kind of like, "Holy shit!" kind of. Oh,
she was nice about it though. Yeah.
This cake is almost as ugly as my glasses.
Yeah, those glasses have to go.
And what is that about? Have you ever noticed that people who have, it's my trademark, like Snooki or Poof, or there's some people who are like, I only wear bow ties, it's my trademark. It's like, why is your trademark something that makes you look like a friggin' moron? I don't understand. Why isn't it something that makes you look cool? Because you look stupid.
Find a new trademark.
Yeah, I don't get it. I wear suspenders all the time. That's my trademark. Oh, you look like a dipshit.
The older you get, the bigger your glasses.
Yeah. Wow.
Her husband seemed like a sweet man.
Yeah, he did.
What if that story is like, we did it under a piano?
No, they didn't say they did it.
That's what they made it sound like.
They kissed for the first time.
And what like, they smushed?
Yeah, they smushed.
I'm sorry, smushing sounds like some sort of deviant sexual behavior.
Yeah, don't you guys think that they should bring Seth back in the end? Just like, we decided to let him try to finish the show. And they're like, no! That would be great.
He gave her a Tokyo Sandblaster. <under the piano.
laughs> I'm sorry. Damn, I want to know what that is.
Bitch. No, you don't.
All right, guys. Let's check out this long clip. It's not as long as the Cake Boss clip.
Okay, good.
Hey, I'm sorry. I have to eat lunch sometimes during the day, okay? There's sometimes where I'm
just
like,
let it record.
I won't edit this one. I'll just throw it up there. But let's check it out.
My God, Morgan's won like 3 times the amount of money of anyone here, and he's still just like, grumble, grumble, grumble. And I was just like, good grief.
I really like what you did, but I really have a sweet tooth. Pretty much all of your chocolate was
sweet
much more sweet chocolate.
Is that,
wish to have
you say
stronger
the sweet
flavor
tooth?
Behind
it.
Danielle and Morgan.
They're both very, very good.
It's
you know, Danielle,
cheese.
It was very interesting flavor.
Oh, fromage.
But I really like the one with the pineapple. It's very interesting.
Thank you.
Morgan chocolate was very nice looking.
Chocolate.
I loved them, but the green tea was a little bit too sweet for my taste. They was both very, very good.
They all just
both
nodded.
Very, very different. If I have to choose one, I may choose Morgan.
Congratulations, Morgan.
Thank you.
Morgan wins again. And has no, like, emotion whatsoever.
It's just annoying to have someone that's like, so, like, bah humbug, you know? Really? Chef Francois, if you had to pick one chocolate from Morgan's to make available nationally in Godiva stores across the country, which chocolate would it be?
If I have to choose one, at least was the top chef one.
How do you say his magical tooth?
With the touch of salt on the top was a very good combination together.
Thank you, chef.
The box should say Morgan Wilson's chocolate and then have a picture of his taste bun.
Piping bags.
Morgan has this thing where he thinks people like hoard stuff.
You know, earlier I wanted some and somebody took the whole roll.
Really?
I got
just
a whole
think
roll.
It's funny that you would make a big deal about it and then you'd go take all the. I mean, like, you need all of those?
Why should I continue helping people in the way that I constantly have when all they do is shit on me?
It's the way you guys play. You just get it right back from me.
Oh, God, shut up, Morgan.
You shut up.
And he's like, well, that's the way you guys are doing it. And
it's like, oh, my God.
Sick of your
just, like, over it, you know? If you want to, like, act like a jerk, then just stay over there because I really don't want to deal with it.
Stupid.
I have not put out a good product. I know it. Make sure you get some brittle.
Oh, Zach,
how
you
disappointed
me.
I deserve a spot
me.
In the top 3. I would rather have the cake scream Zach than be in a culinary no man's land.
Right when you cut into it.
It was a white cake.
I don't
want to
eat this.
I thought it was all too safe. Everything just got the best of me, and it
eat me,
turned
I'm
out
fabulous.
A complicated mess. However, every day I've come in with excitement. I've been excited to be here, and it's a great learning experience. And I think there's people who play it safe. I'm just going to say it, you know, it upsets me that, you know, Morgan won $20,000 in the Chocolate Fashion Challenge, couldn't care less, won the Godiva Challenge, couldn't care less.
It's not part of my character to jump up and down and flail and sing show tunes. I don't think it's polite to go, on, you know, I would rather remain composed than freak out like a little girl.
Okay. He's talking about Zach.
Okay.
Suck it, Zach.
It's personality. It's not personal.
Dude.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you know, it's not personal. It's personality. It's like, yeah, and yours sucks. Go buy a new one.
I love that excuse, though. Like, my cake was bad, but I'm always delightful all the time, you guys. I'm happy and I'm cheery and like, you.
And it's offensive to him that somebody else isn't as cheery as he is.
Yeah, because Morgan always has his game face on. It's just like, you know, I won this, but I'm here to win the whole thing.
Kind of. Exactly.
They complain that he's rubbing it in their face that he won if he went, hey, cool, yeah, I won.
But instead he just stays quiet about it. And I like that he tells the judges that. That's where it just seems real petty. It's like they're going to go, you're right, Zach. Morgan, even though you seem to always do well, we're going to go ahead and tell you to go home because you don't seem excited enough when you win. Oh, okay, bye. It's like, what?
I will cut you.
I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that guy again.
Yeah, Zach, you know what? The main thing I'm disappointed in this guy, I thought he was going to be a drop machine. Every week I'd have like this great thing he would say, and it'd be a great drop.
You know? Okay, I have to go throw
out. Drop machine.
And it just didn't happen. He didn't live up, you know. We're going to start doing a new thing on shows. It's kind of like fantasy football, but we're going to have fantasy drops to shows that we do. And we'll each pick a person who's going to be the best drops.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I would have picked Zach and I would have lost.
We need to have a tournament bracket.
Yeah.
Who's the best drop? Who wins it all?
And then when it's all over, count the drops of all the different people and we can see.
Okay, we're going to start a thread on the forum.
Oh, we are so doing that.
And each person gets one nomination.
Right. And,
we're going
to
do a bracket.
We'll have to think of a new show to do because Top Chef is just about to end. When Top Chef comes back, we'll do that one.
Well, it comes back in like a week.
Yeah, the Top Chef All-Stars. We're going to pick up the best drops. I already think it's going to be the French. Wait, what was that guy's name? I can't remember now.
Marcel?
No, not the Wolverine guy, but the guy.
Wolverine guy.
The Italian guy. What was his name? Like Zio or something?
Fabio?
Yeah, Fabio. I always remember Fabio because he's like, here is new clip from Top Chef or something. They picked him to host and he can't talk. So
no.
It was genius.
Try to pick someone that speaks English natively.
I am host of Top Chef. Me like you host show for you. You
Me
enjoy.
Hit you overhead, take you back to cave.
he's an Italian caveman. Awesome. I didn't know they had those.
Bitch. Pretty
unsafe. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of caves in the mountains of Tuscany.
So, guys, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about our other favorite shows. All right?
Okay.
So we will be right back.
This is why the country's gotten into such trouble.
We'll return after these messages.
This is Twinkie the Kid. Ever wonder how they get that creamy filling into the middle of a Twinkie's cake? Well, these kids have some pretty good ideas.
First, they put down the creamy filling, then they bake the cake all around.
See, they got this big tube full of the stuff, and they just squish it in.
It's just born there.
Hostess Twinkies cakes, fruit pies, and cupcakes. Yahoo! The fresh snacks with a snack in the middle.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You just said the magic words. Now look what you did. And look at the low prices on wonderful toys at Toys R Us. Rambo figures from Coleco equipped with action weapons and accessories only $8.68 each. And the Rambo Skyfire assault copter with mechanical trigger and missiles only $23.87. And Coleco's NHL Pro Stars hockey game only $21.67.
It's the world's biggest Toys R Us go!
Hey, play a video game?
Sure.
Now, command the powers of Atom.
That's a game?
Atom, the complete 80K computer system and super game system.
That's some game.
Atom has super graphics. All the arcade screens, all the bonuses, all the intermissions.
Even a Hall of Fame.
Atom includes the Buck Rogers Super Game and plays all ColecoVision accessories.
Let's run my satellite tracking program.
That's some game.
Command the powers of Atom and program your future.
Someone's in the kitchen with Billy. Someone's in the kitchen, I know. Someone's in the kitchen with Billy. Billy is the way to go.
Why risk your recipes with anything less than Philadelphia brand cream cheese? It's guaranteed fresh.
Billy is the way to go.
The muffler shop, the transmission shop, the tune-up shop.
None of them has this total car specialist, Mr. Goodwrench. Whatever's happening with your GM car, he can fix. Because he has more than just a shop, it's like a laboratory. Equipped to diagnose any system in any GM car. And he's trained to understand the total automobile, not just parts. Mr. Goodwrench, the total car specialist. No one knows your GM car better. No one.
A little bit of whipping makes a little bit of loving. A little bit of loving you can feel down your soul. Oh, and the one who helps the whipping make a little bit of loving is a lucky one. Lucky one, collectible.
Nutri-Whip whip topping, great on anything, especially fingers.
You'll discover a mountain of taste when you try the cool and crunchy Dairy Queen Peanut Buster Parfait. Or try the rich and creamy smooth Banana Split. All Royal Treats are on sale now for only $1.89 each.
Mountain of Dairy Queen, we treat you right.
Isn't just another bubble. It's the beginning of a taste experience. Sprite. The beginning of the sensational lemon and lime flavor that tingles, excites, and refreshes. Sprite. Clear and caffeine-free. Experience the clean, crisp taste of Sprite. The bubble is only the beginning.
Selfurina's put 100% nutrition in.
Chow, chow, chow. So keep your cat and kitten playing his games all day. Just make him happy the cat chow way. Chow, chow, chow.
Presenting new Sara Lee croissants.
Sara Lee croissant? No, no. Only the French can make the true croissant. So flaky, so buttery, so French.
So, how do you like new Sara Lee croissants?
Mmm, I love them. Tell me, this Sara Lee, she's French, no?
Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee.
Sorry.
Payday. Uh-oh, bills to pay.
$500?
You're in luck.
Let's make a deal.
It's a steal.
It's only money.
It's very funny.
Payday. Payday and sorry. Parker Brothers kind of fun.
We are Skippy Dippers. It's our favorite spread. Skippy peanut butter goes on our daily bread. Skippy comes from peanuts, among the very best. That is why for us, nuts, Skippy beats the rest. It's so fresh and creamy, Skippy dipping is. The greatest thing since sliced bread, that's what Skippy is.
Wednesday, Night Court is not subtle.
The man's a pig.
You want subtle? Watch FM.
Why'd you get your nosy butt out of here?
Ooh, my mistake. Then passion. Now that's FM territory. But Night Court has a two.
I'd gladly swallow molten lava for that man.
They're so different, yet so alike. Experience Night Court and FM Wednesday.
Oh, boy, a magic hole. Wonder what's in here. The McDonald's Happy Meal guy.
Right, hamburger, fries,
and soft drink, all regular size.
Well, what do you know? It's the whole gang.
Rubble, rubble.
When you buy McDonald's Happy Meal with color forms, you get different McDonaldland characters.
Hi, Goody.
Hi, Ronald.
And a McDonaldland scene.
Let's stick together.
McDonald's Happy Meal with color forms. You can collect all five.
I don't want to feel bad about sugar. I want to feel good about me.
Feeling good about yourself, feeling carefree. You've got new carefree sugar that comes fresh to taste that sugar-free.
Feeling good about yourself, feeling carefree.
Carefree has such a great fresh taste. Why would anyone chew gum with all that sugar?
Feeling carefree.
The feeling's gone.
And now back to Muppet Baby.
I guess we've been preempted.
Muppet Baby.
Mama, Dandad, Hootin' Hoot, Chihuahua.
Why did we always hear about Nanny, but not the mom or dad? That's a sad story, actually.
Oh.
I just didn't want to tell the kids.
Your parents left you. They were so scared that they gave birth to animal creatures.
All right, guys. Let's briefly talk about Smallville, the final season. Hopefully this pain will end soon. And
she really just ripped the Band-Aid off.
You know what was funny, Bill, is, you know, sometimes references, they crash into each other. Like, Michael Ironside plays the general, Lois Lane's dad, and Bill, you referred to him as Richter.
Yes.
From Total Recall. But I referred to him as Overdog from Space Hunter. So our two... don't you love those actors? They have multiple kind of references like that. It's awesome.
Jester.
Jester, yeah.
I think of Scanners.
Laura, good. Scanners. See, that's why Michael Ironside rocks, but he plays the dad of Lois Lane on here. But, you know, big deal about all that, Bill. My favorite part was the guy who wants to kill the general. And did you like the part where he fires up the missile and he's doing this Star Spangled Banner?
That was so tacky.
I made this clip here. It's awesome. But my favorite bit, though, is when Clark and Green Arrow, somehow they find the guy immediately and they have a little talk with him. Let's check it out.
And the rocket's red glare, bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
That's beautiful. Write that down.
Knocked on targets.
I should put that to music.
God bless America.
We hit the building, but not the target. General Lane survived.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Wow. Flag, we know you blew up that building.
It's a classy move attacking your own country.
Wait, what?
Did it for?
Why is he disguising his voice? They know who he is.
Lane, kill a move.
Not sure.
That Registration Act is nothing but a weapon.
The place still is from X-Men.
We don't need a history lesson.
Well, apparently you do, Shamrock. You become a politician's poster boy for full disclosure. They're going to be on your doorstep soon, holding you up.
This guy was really trying to act.
Get all the other heroes to stand up and be counted. And be killed.
We're not going to let that happen.
The bill passes, it already has.
You dumbass!
America's turning against us.
Ah, man, I got a scrape on my knee.
Fight boo boo. Show strength. Make them choose us as their leaders.
You'll only be stirring up anti-hero hysteria. Violence isn't the answer.
Violence is the only answer.
So I've made myself clear.
More and more superheroes are coming over to my side.
Ah, he's recruiting. already got Robin on my side.
What the hell? All of a sudden it's Lost?
I know, I was about to say that.
It's Lost all of a sudden.
I'm still, you know I said it once already, but why is he disguising his voice? He's so already, the Green Arrow has already revealed who he is to the public.
I'm not sure. I know why.
I've been scrubbing him real hard.
It's like they don't even try.
Have they been trying?
Yeah, I'd better be shot.
No.
Well, Bill, you know, here's why. He was out on a random mission when this happened, and so he just didn't take off his voice synthesizer thing.
Oh, okay.
Don't stick up for the show.
But I do remember this one time.
It's
built into his hood.
That's right, Steven.
Like that time I hid your clothes in Fiji, the cabana. Remember that?
I remember that. Hey. He kept just snapping your ass with a towel. Good
time. I
was
stuck in the cabana. I couldn't leave.
Okay.
Steven's a huge fan of the homoerotic behavior.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Oh.
You know what? I'm waiting for Smallville. You know, it's like, oh, it's ending. Next season, they're going to announce Metropolis, the new show on CW. Why is this the freaking show, you liars? Tom Welling's like, guys, I can't get another job. We got to keep doing this shit. All right, well, let's do it.
I can't really act.
And what? Yeah.
So what God forbid he plays anything but Clark Kent.
I can keep directing. I love his new outfit, though, where his hair is slicked back now. That's cool. Really made a change there. More aerodynamic. Now let's talk about Friday Night Lights. Did everyone see it?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
All caught up now.
I feel sorry for poor Vince and his dad coming home. I can understand why he hates his dad. And that guy looks really familiar, too. I know he's been on other TV shows, but I couldn't place him.
Yeah.
I was thinking, has he been on A Different World or something?
Oh, my God.
I think he's probably on 90210.
I think
Remember
he was
episode?
On A Different World.
Yeah, he probably was. 90210, he was like the guy who did steroids or something. I can't remember. But anyway, guys, Friday Night Lights. You know, okay, I'm going to say this. You know, you guys know I love Friday Night Lights. And you know I'm not nitpicky very much at all about this show. I love everything. But is the show, shouldn't they have just gotten rid of Julie? Do we really need to see this of her in college?
Her with her married teacher's aide?
The only way this will be worth it is if this guy breaks her heart and she starts the girl-girl relationship. Because, you know, she is in college after all, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're waiting for. That's the payoff.
The experimental stage.
Right. But right, we're going through stuff with Vince and the team, and then it cut to Julie talking with her professor, and
she gets kicked out of school.
Then she gets hooked on cocaine and starts doing porno, and
she joins a cult. But
maybe
she should be writing the show.
But no, she jumped into bed with him pretty fast too. I don't know.
She certainly did.
But what'd you guys think of the puppet girl? Would you have watched that on YouTube and cracked up?
Yeah.
Puppet girl. I love
that
the title of it.
Drunken puppet girl.
Woo, puppet girl. And I love how Coach gives them a talk about doing the right thing and all this stuff. And then the next day they're like, hey, I'm the puppet girl. It's like, what the hell did I just say? What is you're off the team. Go away.
They had two insequential characters to get rid of.
There were two red shirts.
Extras.
They're red shirt football players. They're like, oh man. But it's like it is true that everyone is a moron at that age. Come on, in high school. But
very true.
I especially like
they said, we never acted like that when we were kids.
Yeah, and then they kind of trail off because they're like, oh, yeah, we did.
Because we did get drunk and act stupid. There just wasn't video around back then.
But also, when the lady is giving the talk to the girls about being responsible and alcohol, and they're all like blowing off. And I love when the girl's like, boring. And Tammy gets so pissed off and throws her out of there. And Jess, you know, she understands why there are rally girls or whatever, but she wants to be a part of the team in a different way. And Tammy comes up with this idea where she'd be the equipment manager. I don't know how realistic this is at all, especially when Eric kind of says the cons against it. But this scene is funny anyway. I love any kind of Tammy and Eric go between thing.
Don't you need an equipment manager? Billy is the equipment manager, sweetheart.
Well, I'm sure Billy could use some help. Everybody could always use a couple extra hands.
No.
Well, thanks. I just think it might be nice to give this girl an opportunity. You know, it's something that she really wants. And we keep talking to these kids about self-esteem and all that. Let's put our money where our mouths are, you know, make some changes. We got to get this school out of the 50s, for heaven's sakes.
Honey, you're talking about my quarterback, who's a boy. His girlfriend happens to be a girl. I don't need them both in the locker room at the same time. That's a bad idea.
You don't know that. You just don't know.
No, I do know. Girls in locker rooms are bad ideas.
I just think it's something to think about. Tell Daddy to think about it.
Don't you dare.
Think about it, Daddy.
I loved his face when she said that. There's like, I'm just going to give her a look. But that is completely, like, ridiculous. They wouldn't put a girl in the boys' locker room. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on there. And it's funny and amusing. And Vince, the way he reacts to it, he's like, oh, why are you in here? You know, kind of thing. And but is it realistic? I don't think
no.
No.
Not going to happen. And especially they show next week.
If you're going to call it equipment manager, wouldn't she be out gathering up all the extra footballs off the field?
Footballs. She's doing their laundry and stuff. But another thing is Vince, next week they show a scene where they're kind of like harassing her or whatever with a cup, an athletic cup, and he gets all
pissed. Phone for you.
Yeah, it's just a bad idea, you know? I see that ending quickly. But what else is going on in the show? I love Buddy's. I would totally hang out at Buddy's bar, wouldn't you?
I like that he's like, I want you to install this football on the case.
Yeah.
What? Wait, what case?
You know, one thing, if you compare it to last season, when the football team first got started, and now it's where they're at, and they're celebrating each win. And I love the whole football performance, how Vince kicked ass and everything, and you know, just wowed his dad. And there's a great moment where Vince had with where he's feeling overwhelmed by his dad, and he wants his dad out of the house. He doesn't want him to go to the football game, and he goes to talk to the coach, and he's talking about, you need to step up, you need to be you need to strive to be a better person. And he's like, he just can't handle it anymore.
Can't be a better person. He said, no, you didn't have to be a better person,
just strive to be one, just try to. And I think Vince has, and it's pretty tough. Like, your convict dad comes home and he's moving in, and
well, hell, look where the kids started at.
Yeah, like his mom was a crackhead, and now she's got her shit together, and then this guy comes in. So I can understand all that. And there's a great breakthrough moment at the end where he's telling him how proud his dad is. Like, I'm proud of you. When I saw you out there, you're more of a man than I ever was. You got, you know, he's got his shit together and everything, and that was good stuff. Good stuff on the
it was.
The
I was
show.
All teared up.
And then you had Buddy's son, too. That's the other story.
Buddy Jr.'s a pothead.
And Buddy Jr.'s coming back to town. I was like, that damn hippie probably gives him the pot. So that'll be good. You know, they got to bring another young character into the show. And we need more Buddy. You know, I like Buddy. Remember early in the show, he's just so annoying and how he became like a real person.
I want the Landry show, though.
That's the best thing about Friday Night Lights is how they develop these characters.
We need a Landry the College Years show after this is over.
Absolutely.
They tried to do that this season.
I want to know what happened to the cute girl that Landry was involved with that ended up going on Heroes.
Yeah, what happened to her? I guess she died on Heroes, so she never came back. It's the same universe. I can't believe those two shows exist in the same universe. That's not...
It upsets me.
Upsets me too, Zach. But, okay, let's talk about Fringe, huh? Now, Laura, so you told me to make sure I mentioned last week's episode.
Yes.
The,
because we didn't talk about it.
Right. Did you like that episode?
I did.
Didn't you love the revelation that she realizes that the Peter in her head is true, that something's amiss there?
There's a Peter in her head.
I know. I was saying the same thing.
I'm actually surprised Steven didn't say anything. I'm kind of disappointed. But I love the moment when she zaps in back
glad
to
her.
Glad
it was Laura, not me.
When Peter tells her that it's her niece's birthday and she goes over there and calls her, I thought that was great. And she goes back over and... Walter, and it's like, what did you see? And she's like, it didn't work. You know, she lied. So you know that she's Olivia, our Olivia. She knows her brainwashing thing. She's back to normal. That's pretty much what we get from the episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, I mean, I'm kind of selling the episode short. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool, the whole twin thing and the fact that people are alive in the amber. They're just like in a suspended animation, which is
really... Yeah, it was the Brothers Ashmore. They rock.
Yeah, it was the Brothers Ashmore, which is one of the brothers. He's Iceman from the X-Men movies. And the other one is Jimmy Olsen from Smallville.
Exactly.
And I was telling Bill afterwards, like, this is like the best roles they've ever had.
I get them confused because they're identical.
I have no freaking clue which
one was in The Ruins, which was a great horror movie. And one was in Frozen, which was a great, not really horror, but kind of suspenseful. Was it the same one?
I have no idea. They're identical. I don't know.
It was Sean Ashmore in Frozen, and I have a feeling it was the other one in The Ruins.
But they are good nonetheless. And one thing I liked is how at the end she let him go. I thought that was cool. But it was just a good episode. Now, Laura, you didn't even see this week, did you?
No.
Oh.
What?
I know, but you can talk about it. You can talk about it. I'm going to watch it in the morning anyway.
One thing that's really interesting is because once you watch this episode, you have to go back and think about the rest of the season so far. And remember that device that was under the house? It made Eric the Midget's head blow up. All of these different parts go to the machine that they...
Ungrateful little shit.
The drawing of Peter on the machine, right?
Right.
These are all pieces of that device which were put underground a long time ago. It's just kind of unfathomable. I'm surprised I got that out. But let's go ahead and check out this scene. What I love when bits like this happen on the show. I love when Peter goes to that bookstore. And that
but
little,
wait, if it's...
That little
if
guy.
It was put underground ages ago by the old ones, I don't know. I'm so confused by it all.
I am
but
too.
I love it.
Let's check this out. He gets this book that the little guy, what is his name, Marston or something? Or Markson? He tells him this weird book. It talks about people a long time ago, a race of people existed on our planet. And they were completely wiped out where there's no trace left of them. And he's
the
like,
forerunners.
No. He's like, what do you mean, like Adam and Eve? He's like, no, before that, before dinosaurs. So it's almost like, okay, scorched earth, and then everything came back and grew over it. I'm thinking like that, maybe.
Did they destroy themselves?
I don't know, but it's all very interesting. And I love it when Peter, he's sitting here reading the book in the car, and then Walter gets a hold of it. Let's check this out.
So according to this, something happened, some sort of cataclysm that so completely decimated the first people, they were just wiped out of the historical record.
So, how did Seamus Wiles know about it?
Yeah, exactly. They were apparently very technologically advanced. They discovered the vacuum.
The vacuum cleaner?
No. Vacuum as in the source of all creation and destruction.
Interesting.
The book is useless. There's nothing here. The numbers on the first broadcast.
Why?
Well, if you're to believe the book, the first people measured time in months that had wildly different numbers of days in them. But humor me. What were the numbers?
12, 34, 17, 9, 15, 8, 42, 40. Yeah.
I think we're going to figure out what the island is, too, on the show.
Exactly. The numbers in this book. They match the numbers of this calendar, exactly.
I never thought I'd say this, but I think Markham's right. Somehow,
wait a second, bad ADR there.
What the hell does that mean?
It's fascinating.
Remarkable. Read more.
I don't actually believe this. An ancient people who evolved before the dinosaurs just vanished without a trace? It's absurd.
Why should we be so arrogant as to assume that we're the first Homo sapiens to walk the Earth? History is full of extinction events. Climate change, meteorites, Atlantis.
Atlantis? Peter, come on, help me out here.
I don't know what I believe yet. All I know is that the numbers in their calendar correspond with the numbers of the first broadcast. That can't just be a coincidence.
They were a people of great technological prowess who made the ultimate discovery. a mechanism known to them as the vacuum, containing at once both the power to create and to destroy.
The vacuum. What a wonderful name, and it verifies some of my theories.
What theories, Walter? Create and destroy what?
Well, everything. Many religions speak of such a power. And science, the Big Bang and its counterpart, the Big Crunch. The universe expanding and contracting and expanding. An endless cycle of creation and destruction.
Okay, let's run with that. Let's say that these first people did create this mechanism. And then somehow translated into a code.
And now someone is wiping people's memories to keep the code a secret?
Not so surprising. It's the key to the universe. It's a secret worth protecting. May I borrow that?
Mm-hmm.
Feel a bowel movement coming on.
Walter.
He's going to take the book in the bathroom. Biohazard.
Ew.
So
I love that.
Okay, you know, your
can't
brain.
Turn into...
My brain starts to hurt thinking about this. Okay, if this stuff is underground, right? Or whatever it's.
This stuff.
Okay, how does Walter in another universe know about it? That's what I want to know. No, but also, I was
Did
thinking.
Did he travel back in time?
Who do we know? I was thinking maybe he has traveled in time, but I don't know. But also think of this. We know that there is one race that has advanced technology, and that's the Observers, right?
Yes.
Perhaps
I
maybe.
I forgot about them.
Maybe they're not. Maybe they're some of the leftover.
Well, I was thinking maybe the reason they're involved at all is because of their world once ended, and they want to prevent shit like that from ever happening again. So they put themselves in charge of keeping an eye on this.
That's yeah, just, goddamn genius.
That's just a theory. But also, I don't understand how anyone knows about what this stuff can do. That's one thing that's interesting. But also, you got to think about, it starts to hurt your brain when you think about everything that was put into effect was to give them clues in order for them to put this together themselves so they would get all the parts and put it together. So basically, they're being tricked into it, aren't they?
Yeah.
I guess. So. Yeah.
No, you're right.
But it's damn entertaining while we're watching it, isn't it? Huh?
I can't believe that the show isn't getting better ratings. It's so entertaining.
It kills it. I see it every week on Ain't It Cool News or whatever. That guy will go, Fringe hits new low. And I'm like, shit, they're going to cancel the best show on TV, you bastards. Come on. Please don't cancel Fringe. And I'm going to beg, somebody DirecTV to do like they did Friday Night Lights or Damages. It's like, you got to pick up Fringe. Come on. This show's fantastic. HBO, somebody just don't get rid of Fringe.
Well, I think Fox should just stick with it.
I think they should too. It's a fantastic show. And you know, another thing that kills me to me, 4 million people is a lot of people.
Absolutely.
When it says only 4 million people watch, it's like, only? If I had an army of 4 million people, we'd kill you.
And that's 4 million
destroy
people
your,
with a Nielsen box.
Your city, yeah. Where do I get a damn Nielsen box already? How do I get my vote? How do I get counted? You
don't
know?
Even get me started on Nielsen box.
When I'm reading the stuff about Conan's ratings, they're like, he has a great young audience or whatever. He is, you know, reaching a young audience. Okay, that's cool and all, but how the hell do you know? How do you know? You know, it's like my daughter's not calling. Yeah, I just watched Conan. Bye. It's like, who are you calling? Only little kids know about it. It's my demographic. It's like, no.
I think they actually approach you on the street. Like, would you like a Nielsen box?
I don't got one
in the back of my van.
There's got to be another way they can track these things besides the Nielsen boxes.
Now, I have heard that they compiled DVR viewings also, Bill.
Yeah.
But
in order for that to count, you have to watch it that night.
You do have to watch it. The Sons of Anarchy guy said that, didn't he?
Yeah. You know, and so did Sean Ryan, the guy that runs
he's like, it doesn't count if you Terriers. Just record it. You've got to watch it. And I will even...
So if you watch it like 2 days later, it doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Because they only count overnight. So
yeah, you have to watch it before midnight.
So if you want to show it a count, like a Fringe, run it in the background even if you're not watching it so it gets counted, you know? Because it needs the ratings. Because I love the show.
And it's so funny. If you look on like Google at the Nielsen box, they're so antiquated.
They
look like those old like Switch cable boxes with the wood grain fake cover.
Right.
It's I don't understand the technology, and it's stupid.
That's another thing about the Conan ratings that was driving me nuts is everything I read was like a million viewers, like the Daily Show. They're like, that's the number one cable show. They get like a million viewers, which is nothing compared to network TV. But on cable, that's a huge success. That's like awesome. We're getting advertising dollars and all this. Conan is getting like an average of 2-something million. So that's fantastic. So it's ridiculous to talk about that.
Doubled the
so
Daily
if,
Show.
If Fringe gets 4 million, move them to FX. They're getting fantastic ratings all of a sudden. Twist it around. I would
like to know what the budget is per episode on Fringe.
I would follow Fringe to any channel. If they're like, now on Oxygen. I'm like, okay, let's start watching Oxygen now. Right
and
after,
then it's from Oxygen to Oprah's new cable channel.
Right after Army Wives. All right, I guess I'll have to watch it on this channel.
On Lifetime Movie Network.
Now, that's another thing. Let's talk about The Walking Dead, which is getting fantastic ratings, which is, I don't know. What is it, 3-something million? Which, again, that's less than Fringe, but Fringe is on network TV, so that's low. You know, it drives you crazy when you think about it. But this episode of The Walking Dead I thought was a lot of fun because it was really tense episode. And basically, I don't even watch the show in standard definition. I've decided I'm not. I just buy it on Xbox Bill, and I'm going to continue to do that every Monday morning.
It doesn't count in the viewing,
though. No, it'll count. It'll count, Steven, because I'm paying for it. They'll get the money and they'll know. So anyway,
Microsoft is.
One thing that I loved, and you know, we talked about it last week, is my love of the character Glenn in the comics. So I'm glad we had him here. And I don't know who the actor is, but I think he's great.
Yeah, he didn't disappoint.
He's good. And I love when just the way he insults Rick, too, you know, he calls him an idiot and stuff. Way to go, Clint Eastwood. But I love the scene where he's telling them that if you jump out of the tank now, you'll make it because they're distracted. And Rick, there's that scene of him just running and gunning. You know, he's running and he's shooting them or whatever. But there's some amusing, if you stop and rewatch that scene, there are amusing zombie deaths with the sound effects where they're like, "Paw!" And the one zombie falls to his knees, then he slumps over. And there's another one he shoots and just falls like a sack of potatoes. And I was just entertained by that. It was like, awesome zombie kills, man. And then they climb up the ladder. At first, I thought the zombie was going to climb up the ladder. And I was like, oh, shit. But he didn't. He doesn't have the strength to do that. But we get introduced to other characters now. And one of them is Merle, played by Rook. Michael Rooker. And he doesn't seem to like minorities, Bill.
No, he's not a fan of the darker-skinned individuals.
And didn't Rick have a great moment there? Because he's sitting off to the side in this whole scene as Michael Rooker, he beats the crap out of the black guy, and he's telling him that he's in charge, he's got the gun, all this, and everybody has to do what he says. And you're like, where's Rick right now? What is he doing? And then all of a sudden he beats his ass and knocks him over and handcuffs him. He's like, there's no black or white anymore. There's just alive and dead. What do you say, white meat and dark meat?
Yeah.
But I thought that was a good heroic moment because we need that. And basically, they're all pissed off at Rick because he's brought all of the can we call them the Horde or will Left 4 Dead sue me? The Horde is outside and they want to get in there, right? And so the chick from The Mist is really pissed off.
The chick from The Mist.
So they're trying to figure out a way to get out. And I thought they did a really good job of building the tension of the zombies at the window. And you see that one zombie's got a rock. He's like banging on the wall, on the window. And Bill, can we just get this out of the way right now that zombies can use tools?
Yes.
because I read some people, hey, zombies don't pick stuff up. It's like, bullshit.
You have to think of them kind of like caveman mentality.
Right. If you go back and watch Night of the Living Dead or Romero's Dawn of the Dead, zombies will pick things up and they'll use them. In the in Dawn of the Dead, there's a zombie chick who picks up a tire iron and smashes a window. Some of them just have more brain activity going on or something. I don't know.
They're probably they're more fresh.
Yeah, but I'm not. Let's not talk about them.
Zombies use tools.
Let's not
like
talk
that.
About them advancing, Bill. Like the gas tank. What was that? The gas station guy from Land of the Dead.
Bob or no?
What was the gas station guy?
What was his name on there?
Was it Eugene or something?
Yes,
on his name tag. So. Well, this isn't in the era of Land of the Dead, so we don't have to worry about that. But I do believe zombies can pick things up. Like, we saw one turn a doorknob.
Yeah.
And remember the little girl picked up her teddy bear?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like faint echoes in their brain activity, I think. Something like that.
And they cannot use M16s.
Right. And they cannot use
complicated tools.
Yeah, there's a scene in Land of the Dead where they use the M16. I'm just like nodding my head. I'm holding my head and my palms on my hand.
Big Daddy,
yeah.
Big Daddy.
And there's even...
The actor's name was Eugene. I mean, hell, damn.
Well, even there's John Leguizamo. He turns into a zombie. And he's still using his gun, his arrow-launching gun. I'm like, what? But anyway, he was a recent return zombie. Oh, man.
He shoot.
All right. The Walking Dead. The best scene in the whole episode is when Rick comes up with the idea like, hey, let's chop up the bodies and put guts all over us because they explain to him that they can smell them. Let's just check out the scene. I was laughing in giddy delight at the scene.
They're drawn by sound, right?
Right. Like dogs. They hear sound, they come.
What else?
It's like from they hear you, they see you, smell you, and if they catch you, they eat you.
They can tell us by smell?
Can't you?
They smell dead, we don't. It's pretty distinct.
Bad ideas for an Olympic event. This would take the gold. He's right. Just stop, okay? Take some time to think this through.
How much time? They already got through one set of doors. That glass won't hold forever. Wayne Dunlap. Georgia license. Born 1979. He had $28 in his pocket when he died. And a picture of a pretty girl. With love from Rachel. He used to be like us. Worrying about bills or the rent or the Super Bowl. If I ever find my family, I'm going to tell them about Wayne.
One more thing. It's an organ donor.
That was a great moment. Oh.
I just love their faces in this book.
No.
I was eating enchiladas while I was
Oh, man. Mm. I love with each blow, they're all like, oh.
I love how crunchy it is.
Oh, there's this one tearing sound here.
Good job, man.
So gross.
Later.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
It was pretty graphic, too.
That is almost worse than the turds coming out of the porta potty.
Don't get any on your skin or in your eyes.
When he said that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That shit's contaminated. That's not right.
God.
Glenn was the best in the scene.
Really bad.
Think about something else. Puppies and kittens. Dead puppies and kittens.
Dead puppies and kittens. I love that that's what sets him off.
I'm sorry.
You suck.
You suck.
Do we smell like them?
Oh, yeah.
Give me the axe. We need more guts.
And I love they're hanging like intestines.
He has a foot.
Yeah, he's got a foot.
Part of the rib cage is dangling.
But that scene where they're walking and the dead are like walking around him and stuff was great. It was so just freaking scary. And there was one, I swear, was just really close to Glenn the whole time, like right behind him. And I was like,
that one dude with the weird hair.
Yeah, it's like, that dude, yeah. He's following him. I know
he's like suspicious zombie.
Yeah, he's like, wait a second. I don't remember.
That was his name on the call sheet.
Yeah, suspicious zombie.
Are you new in town?
That was his character name, suspicious zombie.
But almost,
you smell pretty.
I forgot to talk about this, though. Let's go way back to the beginning of the episode when Rick's wife, Lori, is in the middle of the woods.
She's freaky.
And Shane,
who's also freaky,
he pretends to be a zombie, he sneaks up on her, which isn't funny.
No, I wouldn't find that funny.
And then they have some sex in the middle of the... I'm sorry, but in the zombie apocalypse, the only place I'm doing something like that is in a bank vault.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The last thing on my mind when I'm in the middle of the woods in a zombie apocalypse is sex.
Yeah.
And forget about sex. I'm not going to the bathroom either, unless it's in a bank vault. Okay?
You got to dig a hole in a bank vault or a
bank
corner.
Vault.
Hey, Steven, I need to go to the bathroom, but I'll only go if you go with me. And you have a shotgun, and you keep
stare
a look
at me the whole time while I do it.
Yeah, I mean, how would you not? I mean,
stop shitting in here.
Why are you shitting in the prison, Stevie?
But stop watching me shit.
But seriously, how could you do that?
Stop looking at me shit. Stop it.
Stop it, zombie. Stop looking at me.
Like, you imagine you cop a squat and then you look down and there's a zombie.
He's walking towards you and it's like,
just a lurker.
Yeah.
Haven't you guys ever heard of Montezuma's Revenge?
But that scene in The Walking Dead, the whole body chopping was great. And I love just the idea of getting a car with the alarm to attract the other zombies away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Just the smarts behind it, you know? And
it was really well done.
But we also have Michael Rooker handcuffed to the roof. And the black guy feels so bad for him. He's like, all right, I'm going to let you out. But he drops the key. He's like, you did it on purpose. And I was like, oh, man, he's dead. We'll never see him again. But did you see scenes the next week? Did you guys see that?
No.
It creeped me the hell out because he's still up there and the zombies have...
Oh, yeah.
They're like peeking in the door like it's cracked and they're trying to get in there and they can see him and he can see them. And he's like, ah! He's like trying to get loose and... we'll be.
Oh yeah, he chained and locked the door, didn't he? Locked.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a one nice thing he did before he left.
but the tools are there too.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be fine.
He's gonna get.
Would he get out of there though?
He knocked over the tool bag with the hacksaw.
No, I know, but where's there to go besides being on the roof?
You could always take the fire escape down.
Yeah, he'll find a way off.
Yeah, they're not gonna just leave the fuck up there.
I loved when they it started raining and then the one's like and Rick chops him right in the head with the axe. I was like, nice.
Right in the middle of the head.
Nothing like a nice zombie hit, you know? And when they were climbing over the fence, I liked that too. That reminded me of Left 4 Dead. They're climbing over the chain link.
Yes.
And then that one, is he going a little too fast there, Bill, when he jumps over the fence?
I think maybe they got a little overzealous.
Here's what I want to see when a zombie jumps off a fence. His legs shatter when he hits the ground. How sweet would that be? And they're like, and they just laugh at the zombie. But I think it's funny that they called him geeks. Well, they call him walkers, but also Glenn calls him geeks.
Yeah.
And I read somebody say that it's apropos because circus geeks bite the heads off of chickens and zombies want to bite the head off of you. So, but I'm just, I'm really excited about this show. Let's see where it goes from here. Right, guys?
Yeah.
I'm excited. This episode sold me. I loved everything about it from the different characters that weren't in the comics to the... I love the scene of them going through the underground sewage system.
Yeah, and I love the zombies down there eating the rat.
That was fantastic.
But I want to... I know if they do the next couple episodes, it's nothing like the comic, it wouldn't bother me at all.
No, me neither.
It'd make me happy.
In fact, I was looking at a preview scene to Sunday's episode where the van pulls up into the compound where all the people are, and it ends right before Rick gets out of the van. I was like, oh, damn it!
That'll be great.
Damn you! Suck.
Poor Glenn. I'm gonna hurl! All right, Bill, you want to do some news?
Yeah, sure.
All right! Don't want to twist your arm, huh?
Nah.
Let's do the news!
Sucks. Go buy a new one.
What sucks?
Screw you, Morgan.
All right, Bill.
We have a sweet tooth.
I'll try to satisfy that.
All right, Bill, what are we having the news this week?
Creepy Frenchman. All right. A Catholic priest is charged with stealing $83,000 from his Massachusetts parish and spending a large portion of the money on his pornography habit.
God bless America.
Reverend Keith LeBlanc, 59, was removed earlier this year from his post of pastor at St. John the Baptist Church in the face of the investigation by the Archdiocese of Boston. They determined that LeBlanc used church funds to pay for online porn and pay-per-view adult movies ordered from the St. John's Rectory.
Great.
Oh, that's...
It really upsets me.
Well, as long as it's like adult stuff, then it's okay.
Yeah, I have no problem
with
it.
Boys.
Get his rocks off.
No,
yeah, as long as he's
involved.
Not abusing kids.
Yeah, then it's okay.
LeBlanc told lawyer for the Archdiocese
money
he has an addiction.
They really
needs
eventually.
What?
Eventually, the electric bill's paid, people, and you're still donating every week. Where do you think the money goes? It pays for entertainment. Come on.
What I'm trying to figure out is how. Okay, he used $25,000 of the $83,000 on porn.
That's an expensive porn habit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, well, again, this is between 2004 and 2010, but still.
It adds up.
That's a lot of porn.
That is. I guess
doesn't
stick
porn
with
on the internet
video.
is pretty much all the same.
He doesn't stick with, like, one porn and just watch it a million times?
Exactly. I guess maybe
he likes
just
variety.
Variety.
Porn.
Wow.
Have you heard of my poof?
Has he ever seen that porn, Bill? Oh my god!
My poof porn.
I think that's one of those scat porns.
Holy shit!
Exactly. That's the title.
Oh my goodness!
If you guys knew how to boil meat or grill it,
the Tokyo sandblaster,
this shit wouldn't be happening.
All right, so a review of his Comcast cable bill shows that more than $4,000 worth of adult movies were ordered, with the film starting the day he arrived at the parish.
Wow, he didn't waste any time.
Yeah, he's like, man, I'm so glad I'm here. Time to settle in with a nice porn.
Wow.
He needed to christen his room.
Trying to break this shit in.
I can just picture, set his Bible down, get his bottle of lotion.
Oh, God.
Not so surprising.
The police report charges that he stole $83,000 between 2004 and 2010, about 50% consisted of funds raised via donations, sales, and a Christmas bazaar. He used the other half for personal bills, such as rent, car, and credit card payments.
Yeah, you know, he paid off the... He's responsible. He paid off...
He wanted to keep his credit history in good status.
That's good. So he could buy more porn online.
Buy more porn. All right, so in Washington, a man has been sentenced for stealing a bus... But also picking up passengers.
Nice, nice guy.
Interesting.
But he's no bus driver, but he was wearing a uniform and driving the Washington area Metro bus. William Jackson was sentenced Monday to 18 months probation in order to perform 200 hours of community service.
He already did that.
Exactly.
That is from a gas station.
It should be time served. The 19-year-old pleaded guilty to stealing the bus and crashing it into a tree. Aw, dude.
He's a bad.
He even
bus
picked
driver.
Up passengers along the way. As part of the plea deal, the phony bus driver must undergo counseling. I think he kind of blew his cover when he crashed it into a tree.
Oh.
You suck.
It may take a while for investigators in Southern California to make sense of the naked woman who crashed her truck into a driving school. Police in Norco, about 50 miles east of Los Angeles, are trying to figure out what caused the naked woman to crash the truck into a driving school with a man in the bed of the truck holding on for dear life.
That's really bad.
Witnesses say the woman sped through an intersection, then crashed through a fence and into a shopping mall before plowing head-on into a driving school storefront. Witnesses say that a naked woman with visible injuries staggered out of the truck and collapsed.
Damn it.
Investigators say the man in the back of the truck told him that he'd stopped to help the woman and that she jumped into his truck and took off. He said he then jumped into the bed of the truck and was trying to get her to pull over when they crashed. Shortly after the story aired, the woman's mother called KTLA to tell them her daughter's side of the story, saying that her daughter was hitchhiking, was picked up, raped, and beaten, that she was trying to escape her attacker. The woman was hospitalized with critical injuries and been unable to talk to investigators. Now, what do we think? Is she making it up? Is this woman just a nutty drunk? Or is the mom telling the truth?
Well, was she drunk?
Yes.
Oh. I'm flabbergasted.
She was making
it
up,
like
right?
A party to me.
I hope she lying.
I hope for her sake she was lying.
You want me to read you a text message?
Yeah, sure.
I found the truck. I'm going to wreck it in the driving school.
Pretend like you don't know me.
Let's party. All right, in Gresham, Oregon, the police have identified two people accused of stealing at a Special Olympic swim meet.
Sick of your
police say a tip pointed them towards
classy.
Ronnie Kerr and his girlfriend, Audra Britton, in the theft at the Mount Hood Community College Aquatic Center last weekend.
Come on, help me out here.
A surveillance video shows a man and a woman walking down what police describe as a hallway where families and volunteers at the event were storing their belongings. The man served as a lookout for the woman during the first pass through the hallway. She took a purse. 10 minutes later, she rifled through a bag, took a wallet. They say they used the college surveillance video and footage from the stores where the pair used the victim's credit cards to verify the pair's identity. You got to be a special kind of scumbag to go to a Special Olympics event and steal people's wallets.
Don't you dare.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
That's a bad idea.
I agree.
British Columbia boy...
Stop it!
A British Columbia boy admits that his story about a bear attack was a hoax. Conservation officers spent a long, wet night Wednesday searching the woods for a bear that didn't exist. Local Royal Canadian Mounted Police determined Thursday that a claim that a 14-year-old boy made about fending off a young bear with his pocket knife and injuring the animal in the process was false.
What a motherfucker.
I think the moment that story comes out, you don't believe it.
That's hilarious.
So why did he say that?
Mess everything's become.
I totally messed with a bear. It was a combination of things that led the police to the discovery, and that some of the information was not credible. The team claimed he was out running late Wednesday afternoon when he was attacked by a bear. The team claimed he managed to fight off the bear. However, Sergeant Kevin Murray said the knife was found only a short while later, completely dry and clean, and they suspected the story was not true. The boy was sent to the hospital with some scratches. They didn't know what caused the scratches, but they know the kid's full of shit.
He fell down.
Man, I totally screwed up this bear with my pocket knife. It was awesome.
God damn.
I don't understand why you would invent a story about a bear attacking you.
Because it's awesome.
It's totally badass.
Ooh, you guys are bad.
He can go to school and be like, yeah, I messed up that bear. He didn't know it was coming.
I remember this story about this kid who saved his sister from a moose because from World of Warcraft, he learned that you could feign death and animals wouldn't attack you. So he told her to lay in the ground and they played dead and the moose went away. But only he and his sister, who are little kids, tell the story. There was no one there to corroborate it, you know? Mm-hmm. So how do we know it ever happened?
I guess
man,
we don't.
You don't lie to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police about bear attacks.
This shit wouldn't be happening.
They take it very seriously.
Our dad fought off a bear once.
Yeah, he did, with the stick. That's a true story.
It is a true story.
Using an axe.
And how did he arrive in this situation?
This is so.
We were in Yosemite National Park, and we were away from the campground. And I remember there was.
You mean Yosemite?
Yeah, Yosemite.
Yosemite National Park. We had Pam and Brad with us too on vacation. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And we were joking. We were like, "Hey, let's go scare Pam, who's napping, and tell her there's a bear." So we run up and we go, "There's a bear! There's a bear!" And there was really a bear there. I swear to God. And the bear started going through, tearing open backpacks or whatever. And I remember Pam said, "My camera!" And it was near there. So my dad grabbed a stick and went and kind of like waved it at it. And it was very close. My dad could have been eaten alive in front of us.
Wow.
But luckily the bear ran off. But that was a pretty exciting day at camping.
We have pictures.
It upsets me.
I'm sorry, Zach. I know it's pretty scary.
It was a really stupid thing to do,
though. It
could
have easily been like the Faces of Death.
Yes.
Where the guy's like, "Hey, look, a bear." And he's like, "Oh, my God." The camera falls.
Dinner.
Yeah. Fighting a bear over a camera.
Freak out like a little girl.
All right. Last story. This guy knows how to live. A man was caught throwing oranges at planes at Mesa Falcon Field Municipal Airport in Arizona. And surprisingly, he admitted to officers that he'd been sniffing spray paint.
We did have a sweet toot.
Yes.
Yeah, he did have a sweet toot.
A little toot of the spray paint.
Good grief.
He's throwing oranges?
Yes.
Okay. I spit on the airplane.
Police responded to a disturbance call at the airport and found 33-year-old Brian Hino sitting in an orange grove next to the airport, holding a green jug to his lips.
Yeah, this is
officers said
friend.
It appeared that Hino had been drinking from the jug. Police recognized the smell of spray paint and noticed paint on Hino's upper lip.
Oh my goodness!
This is why
he admitted
the
throwing oranges at the planes
trouble.
And said he didn't know why it was a big deal. He said he just wanted to go to New Mexico.
Okay.
Huh?
I guess maybe he thought if he threw oranges at the planes, they would relent and take them.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Just trying to throw them into the engine and make some orange juice.
Wait, that story's not accurate, Bill. It wasn't oranges at all.
Bananas.
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana? Police said Henio was extremely jittery.
Yeah.
When police told Henio that he was trespassing, he responded, "I know. I want to go to Mexico."
Like a motherfucker.
Oh,
I'm sure
okay.
In his mind, all of this made sense.
Yes. Police told him to put his hands on his head. He refused and tried to walk away. They moved to handcuff him, but he resisted and had to be wrestled to the ground. Oh, that's a bummer.
Stop looking at me, shit! Stop it!
He was taken to the Mesa City Jail, where he told people to stop looking at him, shit.
This shit wouldn't be happening.
He was booked on charges of possession of a vapor-releasing substance.
What?
Possession of drug paraphernalia and trespassing.
Don't you love creative cops when they're filling out the paperwork? Let's see. How can I describe this?
A vapor-releasing substance.
That's bullshit.
It's the key to the universe.
So if I was carrying spray paint and a jug of milk, I could be arrested with possession of a vapor-releasing substance and drug paraphernalia?
Haven't you guys ever heard of Montezuma's Revenge?
I did want to go there, didn't he?
They
I
do.
Want to go to New Mexico.
They ID you when you
not
buy
exactly
spray paint.
Fine dining.
They do?
Yeah, I was buying spray paint because I was going to paint a metal basket, and they ID'd me when I bought the spray paint.
I think that's a normal thing because kids, they think kids will buy it and sniff it.
Do I look like I'm under 20?
I know, exactly.
Ma'am,
don't.
What are you going to paint with that? Why are you buying...
My face!
Why are you buying a plastic bag along with that paint?
The yeah, can I get an extra bag with that?
That's when we're do you have Chinese any jugs I can spray this into?
Let's get some Chinese takeaway after the show.
I would like some Chinese takeaway.
That's when we're Chinese some takeaway. And that's news for this week.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
I am literally stunned.
Awesome. All right, guys, ready to do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Steven, you doing okay tonight?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Prove it to me. How many fingers am I holding?
Oh, it's taking him a while.
Oh, too long to answer.
Is he laying down?
No, I'm sitting here.
He was shut
well,
down
I
for
couldn't tell because your microphone's so far from your mouth.
It's right.
There you go.
It's no different.
Well, then you're so soft-spoken.
All right, Steven.
I just haven't had anything to say tonight. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Steven.
More Dr. Pepper?
Bananas.
All
right, Steven, you ready to do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Bananas. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, standard definition. DVDs, woo, the DVDs, everybody.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Easy with the language there, bro.
Mr. Falcon. All right. What the whose idea was that? I can't get this to work. It sounds like you're saying Mr. Falcon.
You know what? That I think that has been so influential in TV edits because even at some point, I think Edgar Wright was talking about it somewhere about how they'll try and get great lines from old horrible. TV edits and put it in their TV edits.
I remember Nick Frost says Mother Hubbard from Hot Fuzz. That would have been great.
Mother Hubbard.
Yay, Mother Hubbard.
A new favorite is Monkey Fightin' from Snakes on a Plane where he says, I'm sick of this Monday to Friday plane. He's monkey fighting snakes on his Monday to Friday plane.
I love it. Man, one of the worst is Mallrats and Jay, and that it is hilarious. It's not even him doing it. It's some dude. I don't know. They got the voice to Charlie Brown or something. I don't know, but it is hilarious. You'll crack up.
Yeah, at least now they have the actors actually do the TV edit.
Yeah.
When it was just people that the in the, you know, standards and practices department, it was so bad.
That's a bad idea.
All right. Starting off, DVD and Blu-ray for Tuesday, November 16th, 2010. Avatar Extended Blu-ray Collector's Edition.
Stop looking at me, shit! Stop it!
Awesome. This is the one I want. I didn't buy it before, and this is the one I want to get.
Yeah, this is the one with the original theatrical, special edition re-release, and an all-new three-hour collector's edition cut. So there's three different versions of the movie on this one.
Wow.
Wow.
Including the alternate opening on Earth, 45 minutes of deleted scenes, a whole new documentary about the motion capturing of Avatar, in an interactive scene deconstruction, and all kinds of cool stuff.
It's the key to the universe.
And I don't know what the family audio track is, but it sounds very familial.
Oh,
with
it's with Cake
objectional
Boss.
Language removed.
It's Cake Boss and his whole family doing a commentary.
Oh my god! I don't think I could take that. I can't take it for 20 minutes, let alone 3 hours.
Maybe you stand the chance.
I bet those guys would love a pizza on that that their planet.
We're gonna make an Avatar cake. First, you roll the fondant and all the cereal treats.
And you make the big blue monsters.
We got the Jake Sully wheelchair cake.
And the most important thing
never
about Snooki,
heard
Snooki
of this next film.
Snooki? You don't say Snooki there. Listen.
And the most important thing about Snooki.
Wow.
Have you heard of my poof?
I don't want to know about your poof.
He has a horrible time with the letter K.
Hey, Snooki! What? That's when you rub your knuckle on my head. What are you talking about? Tough Snoogies.
It's a super Snooki. All right, so this next DVD, I've never heard of it, but it's got two of the greatest stars of all time. Tom Sizemore and Frank Stallone.
Awesome.
In Badass.
Whoa.
Blood is never simple.
No, it isn't. No way. Why not? Why isn't it?
It doesn't explain. I guess you have to watch.
It should be obvious, Jason.
Violence isn't the answer.
That's true. Violence is not the answer. Right, guys? I think.
Sometimes.
Violence is the only answer.
Yeah.
That would be a great tagline to a movie like this. Violence is the only answer. At least I think so. I guess you guys don't agree.
It's very gravitas-y.
Yeah.
The box truck is basically a refrigerator. If you leave it running, it's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll
and
be
if
cold
you put Snooki in there, it should be cold.
That's how I keep my Snookies cold. With the box truck.
It should have a frozen poof at the end of the night.
Little pots.
Frozen poof? Nothing like a frozen poof for dessert, huh?
That's a nice treat, the frozen poof.
Just like it looks in Disney World.
Disney World? What? Doesn't he mean?
Because you go round and round on the ride, and you get Disney.
Yeah, it's not Disney World. It's
Disneyland.
Yeah. Disneyland.
Disneyland.
All right, next DVD is Best Worst Movie.
Hey, seen it? I loved it. I was highly entertained by it.
Yeah, and it's got over an hour of bonus features, deleted scenes. Fan contributions, filmmaker Q&A, and a provocative message from Troll 2's Goblin Queen. So I don't know what that is.
A provocative message? How do you, like, sell a movie on that?
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
They should really just ignore the extras and just let the movie stand on its own.
Wow. So, I would like to watch this.
I won't allow it!
Oh, well, I guess I won't.
I'm definitely going to have to buy it. I wish it was on Blu-ray, though.
I won't allow it!
How did you say the Riff Tracks guys did this? Troll 2?
They did Troll 2, but it was Mike Nelson and that guy from that Something Awful site, Low Tax, they call him. I never listened to it, though.
I don't like that. Why do you have guests? Did you think Neil Patrick Harris did a good job on Willy Wonka? Did you ever watch that?
Not really. I watched it. I don't like whenever they have guests.
Yeah, just get the... They did one with Chad Vader, too, didn't they?
Oh, that was painful.
Bananas.
It'd just pop in once in a while and say something stupid in a Darth Vader voice.
Yeah, that's... No.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Riff Tracks really needs to get their shit together.
It drives me nuts when I see something like they do, like, the Bourne Identity. Like, come on, pick a really bad movie or something. You know, I know you can make fun of any movie, I guess, but it's like I'm not as excited to watch one if it's like...
Something that you can actually watch without...
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we tried to watch the Jaws one, and I found the riffs distracting from the movie.
Yeah, the movie's fantastic.
Because I was like, it's starting to annoy me because I want to watch the movie now. Yeah, I don't want to listen to them.
The great Robert Shaw is doing his thing, and you're talking over it. Shut up! You know they can't do that.
I might pick up their Clash of the Titans one, only because the movie was so ridiculous.
The remake?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We have a sweet tooth.
They.
Yeah.
But there's, as of late, I've mostly been watching their shorts.
Yeah, the shorts are always funny.
Because the shorts are good. They're stupid. And it kind of reminds me of classic Mystery Science Theater. And they're only 99 cents, so.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna watch Return of the King with them riffing over it.
I know.
Or...
Hey, watch us riff this 4-hour movie. It's like
yeah.
No.
Only I want his balls.
Abba Zabba?
They are doing The Last Airbender, which I might have to check out.
I would watch that.
Only because the movie was so boring.
I think that movie is 4 hours.
I swear to God, never has a director completely screwed something up so horribly.
I was just shocked by how all the humor was taken out of it. Like, the cartoon is so much fun and excitement and hilarity and slapstick type stuff. And it was just all gone. I don't understand... Why? And I've read some people say it's because if you look at all of M. Night Shyamalan's movies, there is no humor in his movies because he has no sense of humor. That may be possible.
That's entirely, possible. I mean, I like a handful of his movies, but there's certainly no humor in any of them. I might check out their Paranormal Activity riff because I hated the movie so much.
I'm flabbergasted.
I saw absolutely no horror in it. It was just stupid. Like, oh my God, a light turned on. Oh my God, well, there's steps.
The scariest thing about it is that it's real.
Yeah, right.
Did that scare you, Lauren, when you saw it?
I thought it was creepy.
Yo, officer!
I thought the original Poltergeist was creepy, too.
But you saw that when you were a kid, though.
Yeah.
Everything's creepy when you're a kid.
I looked under my bed for a clown.
Oh,
for...
man, the clown. Well,
there's one scene that I can't watch still.
Still?
The guy that's tearing his face.
No, the steak crawling and then boiling into maggots.
Right.
That you can't watch?
Something about it. I don't know.
Really?
Very nasty.
But, like, when you're watching Paranormal Activity, Bill, do you have to tell yourself over and over again, this isn't real? This isn't real.
I wish it was real.
This isn't real. This isn't real.
It's not real. See,
I was thinking if somebody was really is scared of paranormal stuff, then mm-hmm. they might find that movie creepy. But if you're not scared by that stuff, you would find it stupid.
You know what? It's strange for me because I used to love that stuff, but because of the incredible oversaturation of all those shows.
All the ghost hunter shows?
Ghost
Hunters. All the ghost hunters, ghost adventures.
Ghost vacuumers.
Where nothing happens, they just act like things are happening. It orbs. Just doesn't...
They just describe something happening.
My favorite are orbs. Yeah.
Yes. My God, look, it's an orb. No, that's dust.
There's a dust speck on our lens. Now, Stephen, you believe in all this stuff. What do you think about this movie?
I believe in all this stuff.
He also believes in stakes crawling.
Stephen, do you remember?
No, I just find it gross.
Afraid to go to steakhouses.
You know what I find disgusting?
And the most important thing about Snooki is a poof.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Snooki is disgusting.
It's going to be a horror movie about that.
Yeah, no, I'm more disturbed by Snooki than the steak crawling.
Walking venereal disease.
I hear she smells like a butcher shop.
Oh my God, what does that mean?
I don't know.
You know what I heard she smells like?
That's from a Chinese takeaway.
Chinese takeaway.
That's actually delicious.
Mm. That sounds good to me.
She smells like General Tso's.
Oh, I like that chili paste.
Oh, I was all hungry till you played that.
Glenn, I'm sorry, Glenn.
All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is Cats and Dogs.
Oh, this is bad.
Cats and Dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
But why, because it's a sequel, they've got to subtitle it The Revenge of Kitty Galore.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the Empire Strikes Back of this series, I think.
Yeah, it's very serious.
She cuts off one of the puppy's paws.
Oh, no. I hope it's not the beagle.
Can it cock a bathroom?
Holy shit.
All right, next Blu-ray DVD is A Christmas Carol. In Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray DVD, digital copy. My God!
Hey, one minute.
Yeah, I thought the DVD, Blu-ray, digital copy thing was a little much, but now throwing the 3D Blu-ray into the pack.
We have a sweet tooth.
It's the sweet tooth edition.
Yeah, and this is the Robert Zemeckis motion capture, dead in the eyes.
Has anybody seen this?
No.
I'm interested in what it's like. I'm actually not interested in seeing it at all, but I'm interested in someone telling me what they thought of it, if they have seen it.
I'm not interested in seeing it.
Okay.
So, okay, Jason, tell me.
Here's a scene from the movie.
What do you think of 3D TV?
3D TV?
Yeah.
Awesome.
If it's done well, it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how often I'm going to watch 3D, but it's awesome. Like, every once in a while, we'll do like a Saturday night of family movie night, and we'll all watch like How to Train Your Dragon. That would be cool if it was in 3D and we could watch it in our living room. I don't think I'd watch everything. I'm not going to watch Conan in 3D. I might watch Fringe in 3D.
Now, do the 3D TVs you can
bananas
choose not to watch 3D?
Yes.
You have to have the glasses.
Well, they had it set up at Costco the other day, a big 3D TV, and they had glasses there, and I didn't see what the big deal was.
Well, if it's not 3D material playing, then most
Well, they had like some aquarium thing that was
supposed
to be 3D.
Right, but also you got to keep in mind that in Costco, the guy's not trained on how to set it up properly most likely. It's in the out of the box mode and all that kind of stuff. There's a display at Best Buy that I was actually impressed. It was the Panasonic set up, and there's like a stand with the glasses there, so you don't actually put them on. You just walk up and look through them, and it looked pretty awesome. Really? But they actually have a 3D Blu-ray playing. They don't have like Channel 27, a rerun of Death Warrant with Jean-Claude Van Damme or something. They're like, well, this 3D sucks.
God, he's kicking right at me. Holy shit.
Maybe I'll have to go to Best Buy and see what that's like.
I want
to
see Die Hard 2 in 3D.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That scene would be awesome.
The way that, like, the fire trail through the air to the plane.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch Eastbound and Down in 3D, though.
Why are you shitting in the prison?
Why are you shitting?
Stop looking at me, shit! Stop it!
God. Yeah, I'm going to pick up the Panasonic 65-inch 3D TV here on December 1st when the Avatar 3D Blu-ray comes out. I've been waiting for...
Are you?
Yeah, a couple months I've been waiting.
65-inch?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's, I have 57-inch now, so I want to upgrade.
Beautiful. That's the size I want. I want 65-inch.
Man.
65 inches, baby.
Ouch.
I don't know what to do with that.
That is from a gas station.
From a gas station.
Don't buy the TV from a gas station, Bill.
No. No, I want to buy a Daewoo.
Yo, man, come here, man. Daewoo. Hey, come over here. What's going on? Hey, you want to buy a TV?
We were delivering TVs, and they didn't take this one.
What kind you got? I got a 3D Panasonics. Oh, Panasonic? Yeah.
No, Panasonic.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said from Korea.
Panasonics.
Well, isn't this where the dead are supposed to go?
We get the great magnet box.
Sorny. We got top of the line Sornies over here.
Sorny? That's actually how they pronounce it.
I've looked for that scene from The Simpsons forever for an intro, and I cannot find it. I don't know the DVD's box sets, but I need to find it. If somebody wants to send me the MP3, I'll love you forever. Because that's like, there's like this list of things for intros, and I've completed a lot of the bucket list. And that's one of the things that's not crossed off.
What episode is that?
It's The Simpsons where they go to buy a new TV. And there's Sorny and Magnet Box, but Homer says, a Carnivale!
A Carnivale!
And that's the one they go with, isn't it? He buys the Carnivale. She's like, Homer, I've never heard of these names before.
Look, there's Sorny, there's Magnet Box.
Panasonics. Everything's like close, but not quite the name. But then he goes, Carnivale! It's awesome.
All right, moving on. The next Blu-ray and DVD is M. Night Shyamalan's The Last Airbender.
It upsets me.
Yeah, it's pretty friggin' awful.
And let's talk about this, Bill. Like, you love the series, the cartoon.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
My daughter loves it. I mean, she'll watch the episodes over and over again. We have the first season. She's watched, you know, I'm pretty sure she's seen pretty much all of it, but probably in the wrong order or something. But it's a great family show, too. It's got a great storyline, great kind of mythology going on about it, the world they live in. And it's just, I don't understand how you take something just so ripe with material.
And make it so wrong.
And you just, well, the problem is you make it dull. It's dull. And that's what's wrong with it.
Not only is it dull, it has abandoned that entire world and recreated it in such a terrible, misguided way.
It hurts a lot.
Yeah.
It really
does. You watch this movie, there's serious deep hurting.
Yeah.
Did he just try to turn it into like an action movie or...
No.
Not even that, because the action is so subdued. It's like Tai Chi.
There's a few minutes where you get an action scene where you're like, why can't there be more of this stuff right here? But it's meandering.
Yeah.
Very nasty.
So check it out, Laura. You might like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the final two episodes of the first season, which the whole ending of this film is supposed to be taken from. Its soul is ripped out of it.
Right.
Like, it's two episodes, really moving. I mean, it's a cartoon.
You could say that about the whole movie, Bill. Soulless.
Yeah, it's soulless.
There's no life. And, you know, I don't knock on any of the cast. They were put in the movie. They did what their director told them. It's his fault. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Not exactly fine dining.
And here's a movie that's filled with soul. Lottery Ticket with Bow Wow.
Not so surprising.
I love Bow Wow.
We're Ice Cube, Bow Wow.
So he's not Lil Bow Wow anymore, huh?
No.
Hell no.
He's just Bow Wow.
I'm Big Bow Wow. Shit.
Right now,
man, I was in Smallville. I made it.
Bigger.
Oh my God. We have two Bow Wow drops.
And I think it will be worth the trip.
Yeah. Woo.
Lottery Ticket. It's worth the trip.
I thought it'd be bigger.
Oh.
I did too. I remember seeing the trailer to this and Ice Cube plays like an old man. He plays the part of the dad in Friday. He tries to take that role and he can't do it. And you know what? Does that bother you guys? This is what bothers me about Ice Cube. Because he's all gangster, or he was. Now he does family movies. But it's those three Orion moles on his face. Or is that a tattoo? Or is that
Orion?
Are those freckles?
I don't think they're moles. I think you had it right.
Because it bothers me. I can't watch it. All right.
It's kind of sad that he has gone from, you know, NWA to Lottery Ticket.
Oh, my God. Well, you put it like that. Yes. NWA to Lottery Ticket.
It's just really kind of pathetic.
What was that I saw recently? In the trades, they had Ice Cube working with some director to make new Death Wish type series or something.
Let me put it into Google News.
Stupid.
I was like, no, don't think so.
Oh, Dirty Harry.
Oh, Dirty. Yeah, unless there's talking dogs in it, he's not going to make that movie. Okay.
I think it's actually about a hobo.
Oh, okay.
That's just Dirty Harry. You give me a dollar. Out of here, Dirty Harry.
If you want to cry, you can, and I will not judge you.
Okay, so Cube will play a plainclothes detective who's quick on the trigger in an R-rated raw drama that's thematically a throwback to those 70s revenge films like Harry Callahan movies that starred Clint Eastwood.
What a fucking mess everything's become.
Wow.
No thank you. Is it like the cool new Rock movie that's out? Where he's getting revenge for his brother? Yeah.
I'm gonna kill you.
It hurts a lot.
And it's got a greasy looking Billy Bob Thornton.
Hell yeah.
He's a cut his hair. Dirty hippie.
Stop looking at me, shit. Stop it.
Moving on. I'm mentioning this because it feels like something Harry Knowles would mention and say, I loved it. And that's Robo Geisha.
What?
The power movement coming on.
Yeah.
Robo Geisha.
Yeah, she's a geisha known for her glamour and grace. Her abused sister is banished to the shadows. And they mysterious corporation transforms their soft bodies into murderous machines. Yeah. Sounds about right.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it really does.
Only I want his balls.
I so don't care about stupid shit like that.
Well, isn't this where the dead are supposed to go?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Robo Geisha. It almost sounds like a... What is Robo Geisha for $500? What is movie you will never watch? Hey, what do I know? It could be good, right, Bill? We'll know about it.
I'm sure it's fantastic with a title like that.
You know what's cool about that whole episode, The Walking Dead? Not on HBO. It was on basic cable, AMC.
Yes, it was.
and they're not afraid to show guts.
No, they aren't.
It started reminding me of like guts, like in
Nickelodeon. Do you have them? Guts?
No. From Peter Jackson's Dead Alive.
Yes.
Type of stuff.
Well, when he
put definitely.
When he put the axe in the zombie's head, I was like, I cannot believe they're showing this on TV. But it's awesome.
I literally went, awesome! But I was cracking up during the whole body chopping scene. I love that kind of stuff. I'm just entertained by it.
That really uncomfortable humor like that.
Just the way they're all going, oh, yeah. Like after each hit, because the audience is at home going, oh!
Well, and they were showing what he was hitting, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Next Blu-ray is The Shawshank Redemption.
Love it.
I love that.
Didn't
movie.
It already come out once, or was that on it came HD out on, DVD?
It came out on Blu-ray. It's out on Blu-ray. Is this like a better version?
You know what? I think it's just a regular version.
A reissue?
Because wasn't there a version that was like came in like a kind of a book?
Yeah, it looks like a book. It was really beautiful packaging, actually.
Yeah, and this is just a regular Blu-ray with the cover.
I hope.
I think I have the book version. For some reason, I thought it was HD DVD, but not. I guess it is Blu-ray.
Zanatoweho. Can you guys say the name of that place?
No.
Can you guys say it?
Coinasquati?
Zanatoweho. That's what the thing is. It's like Andy Dufresne tells me to meet him there, and I'm like trying to buy the bus ticket, and they're like, what is it? Where do you want to go? It's like, Zanatoweho. Ah, shit. Just Mexico. I'll try to find it from there. Zanatoweho.
Zanatoweho.
There's a bee! Come on, kill it!
Zanatoweho, I hope.
All right, and this one's for you, Jason. Space 1999, Season 1 on Blu-ray.
Yeah!
I hear Harry Knowles loves this series.
Oh, I hate it now. My love for it is gone. Now, this is one of those shows that had spaceships and stuff, right? And I would hope so. I'm a kid watching this just for the spaceships. I don't understand anything that's going on the show at all. But I could watch it as kind of like a nostalgic thing. And it's been remastered in HD, right, Bill? It's been cleaned up. And the show has got one of the coolest rocking theme songs ever. It's an awesome show. Martin Landau kicks some ass in it. And
he does.
Who plays his wife? I forget, but they're great on it. I'm waiting for
that
a remake
lady.
Of Space 1999. And you remember, Bill, you and I talked about this. I want a remake. You know, it's 1999, and they've spaceships and stuff. Obviously, we're past then. Secretly, we do have the technology. We don't know about it, and they're there on the moon or whatever, wherever they're at. See, I was a kid. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Barbara Bain. What's her name?
Barbara Bain.
All right, moving on. What do we got? What's worth mentioning?
Whenever.
Yeah, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory on Blu-ray.
I love Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Tell me more.
This is another re-release, actually, because it came out in that book form before. It's Gene Wilder. And golden tickets and Oompa Loompas.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
No, he's right. That's exactly what's on it.
The movie actually kind of scared the shit out of me as a kid for some reason.
I was always fascinated with it. Something about when Charlie opens and he's got that. Did you see the little bit of the golden ticket and he opens it up? But I swear, I can be moved close to tears. I've become more resilient in my age, but Charlie, poor Charlie, when his mom sings that song. Cheer up, Charlie.
Aww.
I'm close, man. I'm close to crying.
Good day, sir.
Because I'm just like, the world has shit on Charlie. Give him a break.
Poor Charlie Bucket.
Give.
If you want to cry, you can, and I will not judge you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where's that clip of the guy from Intervention that starts crying? I love that guy. And that's really it for this week, but I just wanted to quickly mention that the next week we get The Expendables and Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Awesome.
The Expendables came out quick.
Yeah. I think they probably wanted to make more money off of it as soon as possible.
Bill, if you want to hear something funny, my dad, I talked to him on the phone ranting about that movie, and it's pretty hilarious.
Ranting?
He could do a stand-up act on how much he hated The Expendables.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't like it either. I thought it was really horribly made.
I was like, I was entertained by what it was. I didn't expect high art or anything.
What did he expect
it
to be?
Your dad and I could have a good conversation.
It's got
about
Batista from Dexter in it as the bad guy. Come on. Wait, no.
We will rid of this American disease.
But he's not really the bad guy. He's
not.
He turns.
He's a puppet.
But he didn't even need to be there. It's got, why the character was written, I have no idea.
What a motherfucker.
Just so they could be in that South American
it's
country.
It's got the evil Eric Roberts.
They didn't need him. Really the daughter could have been the one trying to take back the country from Eric Roberts.
Straight from the stint on Heroes, Eric Roberts delivers a performance you won't believe.
Like none other.
The comedy stylings of Jet Li.
I'm flabbergasted.
You know what that movie did tell
not
me, though?
It's best of the best.
What I came away from that movie wondering is, why isn't Dolph Lundgren in mainstream film? Because I think he's awesome.
He's terrific, but the whole him popping back up at the end, like, oh, I'm fine, I'm off drugs, and I'm
that
not dead.
That was hilarious, though. That was, like, one of the biggest laughs in the movie, that you think he's dead, and then he's, like, there at the end. It kind of reminded me of Rustler's Rhapsody with Tom Berenger. Do you remember that?
Holy shit! You're pulling that one out of nowhere.
Yeah, the narrator goes,
that was on HBO every day in the 80s.
The guy's like, people who are dead are up walking around. You see people that were dead early in the movie because it's such a happy ending. They're back to life. And it's like at the end, it's like, hey, Dolph Lundgren's alive. Why not? I'm the director. He can be alive now because I want it to be happy.
I guess when you look at it like that, it's just I guess you have to. I mean, I guess I was looking at it like an actual film and it's just stupid.
Whatever you do. Here's the thing I don't understand. America. I'm talking to America directly.
I don't understand America either. I'm moving.
No, wait. Listen. When you see the commercials to this movie.
This is why the country's gotten into such trouble. This is the kind of thinking that we've been witnessing.
Everyone saw this commercial with Arnold Schwarzenegger in the commercial. Am I right?
Right.
You see Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Then why in the movie, when he walks in, you hear the audience go, oh, Arnold.
It's the governor.
Arnold. It's Arnold. Bruce Willis. Yeah. It's like, you saw the commercial, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. How maybe many those people really didn't surprising. See the commercial.
How many people just show up to a movie and they don't even know anything about it?
I do that.
Spendable.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
You do that, Laura?
I have the Dolph Lundgren workout video.
What?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
Body on a whim.
Body by Dolph.
I will break you with Dolph Lundgren.
I went through a little brief period where I like to buy celebrity workout videos. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous celebrity workout videos. Like I have the Marky Mark workout video.
All right.
Feel the vibrations.
And it's him and all women.
We seem to have sprung a water leak here, but that's okay. I'll still work out anyway. All the lights are flickering. Oh, still, let me do some push-ups.
In my Calvin Klein.
Well, you know what's funny? In the Marky Mark video, he has girls bending over with their hands on chairs doing lap pulls, and he's looking down their shirts going, that's fine.
Awesome.
He's making comments on their cleavage while they're working out.
What? That dog.
And he
got great breasts.
Bill's operation.
I think he calls them his super fly honeys or something.
Wow. So he does it in his whole fake wannabe character that he was.
Man, I wish I was black. Yeah, Bill's operation.
Yes.
After this, we're going to go tan and do some laundry. All right, Bill.
I'll make you a copy if you want to come.
Awesome. It's probably, you're kidding, it's on YouTube. You know what it is.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
No problem.
It's the key to the universe.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And
everyone, that was episode 219 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening.
You know what you do with bad bananas?
What do you do?
Banana bread.
I love banana bread.
Seriously. Delicious.
Go to nowhereinmulberry.com and join our forum. Much like Pro and Swiley, who are the only ones who commented on last week's episode.
I know.
I want to thank them for taking the time to do that, because everyone else is too busy, apparently.
That's sad.
Violence is the only answer.
You're right. We must take action, Bill.
We're going to send the suicide squad.
We're going to put a under-the-skin tattoo on you.
Subdermal tattoo.
Did you notice they never say, how do we get rid of this? They're just like, oh, well, it's permanent, I guess.
No, she's working on a way to get rid of it.
Steven, you're paying attention to that show?
Yes.
I'm like this. What happened? What happened is...
It upsets me.
Sorry. I'll try to watch more of it, Zach. Oh, Zach, you're not even on the show anymore. They need Zach on Smallville.
Yes.
I'm the Riddler. It's like, that's a Batman. Riddle me this, Smallville. It's like, why are you talking with the Lisp? You didn't do that on the show. I don't understand.
Fabulous.
Couldn't care less.
Oh. Well, join our forum and comment there. Also, follow us on Twitter. You find a link there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Send us an email at nympodcast@gmail.com.
And also, now that if you're on the move and you have a mobile device, download the Tapatalk app.
That's
and
right.
You can visit our forum on it.
That is cool. It's a cool thing. It's also on the iPod or iPhone, mm-hmm. Apple.
Android.
And it's really badass. Basically, it makes it the forum where you can just look at it easily on your phone, your smartphone. It's
BlackBerry, Nokia, Android, iPhone.
And, I think it costs a little bit of money, but it's no big deal, especially if you go to a lot of different forums and stuff. Like you go
there's a free one that you can, read, and then
you can
download the one that you can...
The free version, you can't post anything, I believe. But you can
read only. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and still, that's cool. If you don't want to post anything, you can
read.
So
that's perfect for our listeners, because they don't post anything.
That's right. You're right, Laura.
Burn!
Exactly fine dining.
Field vibration.
Gotta love that Marky Mark. I saw this rumor also in the...
Feel it!
In the trades, as they say, Bill.
Yes.
Rumored Mark Wahlberg may play the Crow in remake.
No.
I was like, only if what happened to Jet Li happens in this film, too. It's cursed.
Jet Li?
Who the hell's... Wait. Jet Li.
Brandon Lee. I'm sorry. So
I was like, what? What happened to Jet Li?
He got short.
He's dead, Steven. I forgot his name. Is that okay? I've moved on.
He hasn't been on anything in a long time.
It matters anymore.
Poor Brandon Lee. You know, when you watch that movie, it's like he comes to life just for the movie, and then he goes back. And just think, Mark,
the Crow's bringing Mary.
Why would you
the movie again?
Why would you remake The Crow? Every sequel to that movie sucks so bad.
Well, because they need to bring out Bai Ling again.
We need a vehicle for Bai Ling, damn it. Come on, you people. I've got 20 people working on a Bai Ling project. Can we please come up with something?
Michael Wincott needs work.
Yeah. He got his vocal cords fixed. He's ready to do a movie.
We'll do a Crow musical. He'll sing.
Oh.
I like the pretty lies.
I like these eyeballs.
Bai Ling's not acting anymore. She went into lighting. Oh. Would that be
Fire it up!
That would be so cool if Bai Ling went into just like she's a stage lighter or something for live shows.
Stage light.
She loves.
I like making the pretty lights.
I like the pretty lights.
She really does. She loves the pretty lights. You know what the funniest part is? When she says that in the movie, even the other actors are like, uh-huh.
What the hell is she talking about?
Fire it up! 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 Fire it up!
Yeah, okay.
That movie, and you watch it now, and it's so 90s.
Yeah, I can. I'm still...
But I love it anyways.
He felt all awful. Goodness. I love that actor. What's his name? The guy who played that part. Ah, he's great. He was also great in Dreamscape.
Dreamscape.
Jesus Christ walked into a bar.
Yeah, he had three nails. Can you put me up,
up for the night? Oh, it's like, oh, no, he didn't go there. That's blasphemous.
Yeah, but he's dead. He didn't care, right?
Nice. I saw Enter the Dragon 6 times.
Cool.
No, that's one of those movies that I can watch over and over again.
It's almost like it could.
And then afterwards, I cut my arms.
And, oh, Bill, no! And then you put electrical tape around it.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. I like The Crow and I like the comic. I just don't make any more of it. It's over. Don't remake it.
Yeah, we don't need sequels. City of Angels or there was another one after that.
How many have there been?
There was this really bad one that was on Sci-Fi or something, and it was Edward Furlong.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And David Boreanaz.
Yeah. Easy money.
It looked shitty.
It was bad. I couldn't watch it. I tried.
Like, okay, so there was...
Tara Reid's in it, too.
The Crow, City of Angels.
City of Angels. At least City of Angels looks pretty. It was directed by Tim Pope, the guy who does rock videos.
That's true.
It's visually striking, but it's kind of like, what the hell's going
it's
on?
It's got Iggy Pop in it.
Yeah, Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop, he's interesting
you
in the movie.
I'm afraid of you.
Yeah.
He's think I'm afraid of you.
And then the third one was The Crow Salvation with Kirsten Dunst.
What? Yeah, I have seen that. That was like one of those kind of like blockbuster rounds. Like, oh, what? Straight to video Crow. What the hell is this? Okay, I'll check it out. And it's like, it's just, it's.
Oh, here's. Oh my God, Edward Furlong looks horrible.
Yeah, he's like,
what the hell?
Fresh out of rehab and in The Crow.
He looks bloated and in drag.
Ooh.
The Crow, Wicked Prayer. Wow.
Yeah, it's not...
This is just horrible.
Bill, it is. I mean, even joking around, you couldn't watch more than 5 minutes of it. And I think they even got the director who did Six String Samurai to do it, but obviously the guy had no money to do anything. It's just bad.
Yeah, Lance Mungia or something. Yeah, you're right. 16 Stramon. There he is. Huh. Interesting.
Sometimes I'll whip it out. You know what I'm saying, Bill?
Yes.
I don't want to know
bananas.
About that.
Yeah.
Put that banana back.
All right, guys. So in 2 weeks, we'll be back, or it'll be 3 weeks. It'll be after Thanksgiving, we'll be back, and we'll be ready to talk about several episodes of Fringe and The Walking Dead. which are two of my most favorite things to watch. And I'm loving Terriers, too.
Terriers is fantastic. In fact, I was so jealous this week when I was reading on Twitter all these people saying, heard about Terriers on the Nerdist podcast. Great show. And I'm like, Nerdist? Screw you guys. You've been talking about it since the beginning. Nerdist.
I've actually I've talked about Chris Hardwick before.
He's an asshole.
Couldn't stand him on that web soup show. But I discovered the Nerdist on accident because I found an interview with Andy Richter on there. So I listened to it. And I was like, this is actually pretty entertaining. So I listened to the John Hamm interview, which was hilarious. And like he interviews a lot of like comedians and actors on there. And it's, I got to admit, it's a very entertaining show. And I listened to the Donald Logue interview, and it's really good. He says a lot about the show and getting his sister on the show. It's very informative, and it's really cool. And I still hate Chris Hardwick on TV, but he seems like a pretty cool guy on the podcast.
Well, there you go.
So that's you know, that's the way it goes, Steven.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
Exactly. Now, have I said... Okay, I did email... leave us a voicemail at 126-202-3491. Steven, they can reach you where? Which, you're going to be at Zany's this weekend?
With Zany's.
Omaha, Funny Bones. The Comedy Basement.
And Laura, where will you be performing later? The Laugh Shack.
The Laugh Shack.
Wouldn't that be great if we were all just like struggling comedians?
We are.
Yeah, I'm a comedian, damn it.
We're struggling.
I'm a satirist.
I like that better.
I'm flabbergasted.
Now, before we go...
You want me to read you a text message?
Yes. No.
R-O-F-L. I just shit myself. L-O-L.
G-T-L. I have to mention this. Last night, I was laughing so hard. I was up at like 4 a.m., couldn't sleep.
That'll do it.
So I was just messing around on the internet, and I found this site called Damn You Autocorrect. And it's all these people taking pictures of their text messages. Back and forth, because the autocorrect on the phones, they'll always do something with the words that aren't supposed to be the word you want. And I was cracking up. It's one of the funniest sites ever. Just damnyouautocorrect.com.
I'll check that out because it's happened to me.
I was in tears laughing.
That is just evil. What is wrong with you?
Oh, my dear. All right, everybody, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks, all right? I'm talking to you, Lauren, Stephen, and Bill.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks, yes.
Hey, and Bill, you know, I always forget to do this, but shout out to whoever's in the chat room right now.
Yes. Oh, and you know what? We have to thank the guys from 35mm Heroes this week.
Now, Bill, we follow these guys on Twitter, and yeah. Noel has called in before, and they do the show called 35 millimeter Heroes. Now, one thing I was – before I get into that, they said some great things about us on there, but I was thinking like Nowhere in Mulberry has a lot of syllables, like Nowhere in Mulberry. But as I was like 35 millimeter Heroes. They have a lot of syllables in their name.
Yes, so they do.
They beat us, man.
You're doing the clapping approach, I see.
Yeah, that's I learned it in school.
That's the only way.
Take it with me the rest of my life. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do? No, but Bill, what you were saying before, I'll let you say it because I didn't mean to cut you off.
Wait, I don't even know what I was saying.
You were thanking them.
They did their top podcast. They all...
Oh, yes.
And...
Yeah, Noel Miller rated us number 3. And he went on for a good bit about us, and it was so flattering and appreciated. And
whenever I'm feeling down about no feedback, I'm just going to listen to that over again.
Yeah, really.
because it made me feel good. And by the way, they're picking out film podcasts. And I love it. He's like, I don't watch effing Cake Boss, but still, they make it entertaining. And that's, you know.
Yeah, we're really not a film podcast. You know, they still included us, and that was fantastic.
It really is. It was really cool. And thank you for saying that. I think, Laura, you and Steven should check it out.
Definitely. Yeah, Noel, Jordan,
Ian. Because it's entertaining
Ian.
As hell, too. It's yeah, really
check out their website, eatsleeplivefilm.com. Really good reviews of films.
I think it's funny. What is it? Ian and Noel, they'll say like really dirty stuff and kind of, it sounds to me, I don't know if it's true, or but Jordan seems to like go, okay, well, moving on kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's hilarious.
Jordan just likes to sit back and hear what the hell they're going to come up with next.
It's pretty funny, but that was really cool of them. You're right, Bill. I need to thank them on Twitter, too.
Yeah. But listen to the shows.
And I know what I'm going to do tonight.
Eat some more crack tonight or something?
No. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. Where's I going with that?
Disneyland.
Bananas. I'm going to eat a banana after the show. All right, everybody. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
I got to conduct business.
I mean, he's going to take a poop.
Why are you shitting in the prison, Stevie?
Now this is podcasting.
Only I want his balls.
That's from a Chinese takeaway.
Eat some more crack tonight or something?
That's a bad idea.
Are you kidding me?
Not exactly fine dining.
Feel the bowel movement coming on.
I'm so good.
Haven't you guys ever heard of Montezuma's Revenge?